much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to a world of happiness.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
When you read about me in the paper, it's always Star Jones' ex-husband. I want people to know that I'm more than just Star Jones' ex-husband. I'm Al Reynolds.
Tell us about that. Are you gay?
I'm not really a touchy-feely type, but, well, hell, I'll just say it. You're a jackass.
I have an idea. Let me tase you.
No, you can't tase us.
Okay, then. How about a knock-knock joke?
Fine.
Knock-knock.
Who's there?
Get it?
And now...
And the always enjoyable giant inflatable beaver.
Our feature presentation.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
How long you been in the building, you reckon, there, partner?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe 15 seconds.
Yeah, about. Now 20.
Not 20, sure.
You're getting all settled in now.
Listen, I was here almost.
Okay. All right, that's fine. We're going to take your telephone calls for the Tuesday edition of Kevin and Bean's What to Do Nephew, 1-800-520-1067. What I like, Mike, is it doesn't even look like he's hurrying. He's really still going at his own pace, even if he's opening the door and hearing, and now.
It's amazing. It's like how Albert Pujols in the bottom of the ninth, bases loaded and down by three. The expression on his face is as if he's not even pressured, and Kevin's
it's
the same way. He's
yeah.
just casual, relaxed.
Yep.
BJ Penn, after getting a nice elbow to the face, and people think he's rocked, doesn't matter. Composure, man. Composure of a champion.
He really does manage to maintain his calm, and that's impressive. Maybe it's just not caring, though. Maybe that's what it is.
How
Zan, as
dare
much as
you?
It's just that's the WTF look. Is all that
how
is.
Dare you? I care greatly, and I'm just able to control myself.
Okay. All right. Hey, before we go to your calls, again, 1-800-520-1067. You can give us a call, get on the air, and get a prize. It was interesting. We had that conversation yesterday. I think it was during this time we had that call from a guy who said a neighbor had some Christmas decorations still up.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard that came up a couple of times later in the day yesterday. The new trend now in several states, including Maine, by the way, where the deadline is now January 14th, you have to have your Christmas decorations down or you get cited.
I love it.
Deadline? No kidding.
Illinois, now there are places in Illinois where February 25th is the deadline. You've got 60 days after Christmas, and you're not allowed to put them up before 60 days before Christmas. They've got deadlines on that.
Wow.
And I guess it's just, you know, pressure from the neighborhood. I don't know that the government needs to be regulating good taste, though. I mean, that doesn't seem like a safety issue. I mean, it seems like the type of thing you work out with your neighbors.
No,
right?
That's a terrible idea.
I think so,
as far
too.
As I'm concerned. Don't they have anything important to do? That's neighbors' work. Neighbors need to get together and burn the guy's house down or whatever
well,
it is.
No,
it
takes, no, we're not
saying,
no.
I'm just going to start with just egging
I'm
it.
Just saying whatever. Well, maybe you
start there,
easy.
Right?
And then if they don't get the message, then you move
then
on
maybe
to...
maybe light it, strike a match.
Right, exactly.
Hold on a second. Don't you start by, I don't know, bringing it up, like some sort of conversation?
No.
Or is that not allowed to talk to the neighbor?
Well,
you have to start.
Care,
again,
obviously.
And then it depends on the time. If it's January 15th, maybe you bring it up. If it's February 25th, at that point, they know it's up and they know it's late February.
Right. And they've thrown up their arms and said, well, we'll just leave it till
so
next
a house
year.
Full of ashes is what they get.
There's one guy I heard on the radio yesterday who said, look, my house is on the market. I'm trying to sell it. And I have two neighbors on my street that still have Christmas decorations up. And it makes it look like we live in a white trash neighborhood. And people come up to the house and I think they're not going to want to live there because of that. So that was his concern. He should be paying those guys off then to take their decorations down, right?
Yeah.
Whatever it takes,
yeah.
He's doing them
paying
a favor.
Off. He has to explain it to them. That's what has to happen.
Anyway, so I have to give some very serious consideration to the fact that my tree is still up and whether I mean it can be seen from the road. So is that something that now am I going to have to deal with the government coming to knock it on the door in the middle of the night saying what's up?
It can or cannot be seen.
It can. You know, yesterday your defense was, well, it's not outside.
It's inside,
but you didn't mention
right.
that it can be seen from the road.
Well, it's in the living room, you know,
it's in the window.
In the window. You can see in the window. But, I mean, is that offensive enough for somebody to insist you take it down? I mean, if it's inside your house, do you guys feel differently about that versus outdoor decoration?
It's always, always hard to use you as any kind of an example for anything because you have a giant clown head on the outside of your house. So to me, if you're talking about annoying things from the outside, I don't know, clown head.
Start with that.
Start with that. But say you didn't. Let's say you had a normal house. You didn't have a clown head.
And the house wasn't already pink.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, okay. That too.
Never mind. There's too many caveats for this conversation. It's just not possible.
All right. If you're the neighbor, though, who's going to egg/burn down the other neighbor's house for having the lights up, my question to you is, do you care what they've got going on inside, even if it's visible through the window? Or is that their property, their territory? They're allowed to do whatever they want, whether you like it or not.
Can it be seen?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm saying, you drive by, you can see it from the,
it's not just their problem then, my friend. Not this, really? Not just theirs, no.
So you think neighbors ought to have a say in what's going on in my living room now?
If you're annoying everyone, yes.
But how annoying is a tree that can be seen from the wind, from the street when you drive by or walk by? How annoying is that to somebody?
Isn't that the same as having lights up?
Well, this is why I bring it up.
I'm trying
to get some rules here.
But aren't you the guy who is behind, too late, you might want to take them down?
You are that guy.
I have that policy for outdoor decorations, yes.
Okay.
Indoor, though, I ought to be able to do whatever I want.
But if you put tons of lights right inside your window, how is that different from having them outdoors?
But is it?
I don't
understand this conversation.
All right, let's get to some calls. 1-800-520-1067. Time for the Tuesday Kevin and Me What to Do Next.
We're sorry. You must first dial 0 or 1.
What it do, nephew?
Well, it's almost NCAA tournament time. If you like the college basketball, how about this? A 4-pack of tickets to see Session 1 of the Pac-10 Men's Basketball Tournament. That's coming up on March the 10th, which is a Wednesday at Staples Center. That's what you get for being on the air. What do you want to start?
I got to tell you, that college basketball tournament is always great.
Yeah.
And you find yourself seeing great games from teams that you couldn't care. You don't care about.
You've never heard of.
Never heard of.
Yeah.
But you're so are rooting for one side or the other. So that's good times. Let's start with Letitia, who's on line 2. Hi, Letitia.
What it do, nephew?
What it do, baby boo?
What it do?
Hey, what up? Last week you guys were talking about how dudes need to tell chicks to lose weight. Well, I work with a bunch of guys, and I wasn't wondering because I already told the guy that he was fat. He's always walking around saying, "Oh, I'm fat. I need to lose weight."
That's the worst. If you're fat and you complain about it all day to other people.
Dude, he like totally walks around going, "I'm fat." So anyways, we like to lunch swap at work. You know how that goes. You got a sandwich, you got this, you got that.
Sure.
And one of the dudes was swapping around ho-hos. So they're like, "Hey, Letty, do you want one of these ho-hos?" And they were about to pass it to that guy, and I just chucked it midair, and I grabbed it, and I was like, "No, he's cool. He doesn't need one."
Nice.
He's like, "Oh, that's messed up. I'm going to file a report. Oh, that's discrimination. You're calling me fat." And all the guys are like, "Dude, don't be such a wimp, dude. You always walk around talking about you're fat. What the heck?"
Yeah.
And they're like, "Oh, man, you're just being a little punk, dude." But, seriously, he was like, "Oh, I'm fat. I need to lose weight." And I pretty, midair took the ho-ho away.
Nice. I like it. Diving so across to grab the ho-ho.
Yeah, so he went and, ratted me out to the supermarket.
He did? Really? For reals?
Yes.
What?
I'm like, dude, that's scandalous. But, guys can totally be as sensitive as girls,
So he's not only fat, he's a little bitch, basically. That's what you're telling us.
Yeah, pretty much.
Wow, okay. Well, you did the right thing.
Hey, yeah, absolutely.
Hey, you offered, so.
That's right.
Thank you very much, Letitia. We appreciate the call. Let's try line 3, Richard calling in. Hey, Richard. Welcome to the Kevin DeVine Show.
What's going on? I think I know why Kevin has a problem with the Sean Penn situation.
Why?
Oh, really?
Help me.
A month ago, this guy was kicking around the paparazzi, and now he's trying to be the humanitarian, saving people in Haiti. I just don't understand what's going on with this guy.
I don't understand why you bring those two incidents up. I mean, those are consistent with how he's acted the last 30 years, though. Both of them.
Well,
he's gotten fights with the paparazzi since the 80s, and he's been doing humanitarian and outspoken work since the 80s, too.
Well, that's why Kevin probably has a problem, because this guy is not consistent. Why would he be? I mean, charity starts at home. Why are you going to be kicking out people around here and then try and go halfway across the world to save people in Haiti? Why don't you start at home?
I'm happy that
people right around here. You know what I'm saying?
I'm happy.
Your guy.
I'm happy that you're putting the energy into try and defend me and try and explain why it upsets me. But I don't want you on my side. Got to be honest. Thank you for the call, though.
Look, I know we have First Amendment in this country and all that BS, but don't the paparazzi deserve to be kicked? I think they do.
Depending on their behavior, yeah. You'd think
there
it would happen
of
more
times,
often.
Sure.
Exactly. Let's try Brian. He's on line one. A call back to a conversation we had the other day about personalized license plates. Hi, Brian. Thanks for calling. What it do?
Hi, what it do? What it do, baby boo?
What it do?
So, a girl and her friend see my car and my vanity plate, and the girl turns to her friend and says, I'm going to marry the guy that has that plate.
Whoa.
Her friend tells this story as her toast, as her maid of honor at our wedding.
All right. What was the vanity plate?
It's Rivet Head.
Rivet Head?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
Somebody who's into the industrial music, industrial scene.
Okay. And
sure, glad that worked
for you.
So
you're telling me that a girl that you didn't know saw that and said to herself, I'm going to marry that guy. And then, you know, eventually through time, that happened?
Yeah.
No.
honest to God, it happened.
That's a pretty sweet get-together story, though. I mean, it is a nice romantic story to tell at your wedding.
Yeah.
She figured this guy must have the same sensibility as I do in order to get such a stupid license plate, so we're perfect for each other.
Yeah.
All right. Congratulations.
So suck it, Superman.
I don't know what that means, but thank you.
Suck it, Superman is what he said.
It's good that those people found each other, right?
Sure.
Yeah.
Let's try Chris, line four, recap of, huge, huge event in television last night. Hey, Chris, what did you do?
What are you doing, nephew?
What's going on?
Good morning, Lisa May.
Good morning.
So the Bachelor needs to go away.
The Bachelor?
How this program continues to just continually cycle on and on and on. They built this program that will never go away because the loser ends up being, there's always somebody who ends up being the next Bachelor or Bachelorette.
Right.
And it just continues on and on.
And they've got to be what, like 10... seasons in or something? I mean, you're right. It does seem like it's more popular now than ever.
Yeah, and now you've got, you know, a wedding happening. Now they're doing people's weddings and following kids. It's like, when does it end?
You know, here's my question. I'm able somehow through technology and all kinds of different ways to never have watched that show once. Why don't you just avoid it?
Well, I would. It usually comes on right about when I'm heading to bed. My wife tends to watch it, and so I get stuck listening to the background noise.
I got you.
And it's one of those irritating things that just doesn't go away.
Well, you got to explain things to your wife then.
Yeah, that's probably a good idea.
You got to egg her house.
It's not a good idea.
To Bean.
What? I say he's got to egg her house and then light a match. All right, dude. Sorry, I can't help you there, but The Bachelor is very popular. The chicks love it because the chicks love fake TV romance. I don't know what to tell you about that, but it's just true.
We have time for one more or no?
Maybe we don't.
Maybe not. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Hey, everyone. Kevin's going to give us his take on the situation. Let's listen up.
We have an Ask A series that we've been doing for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
We did Ask a Hooker, and then we did Ask Someone Else, and then we did Ask a Hooker, and then we did Ask Someone Else, and then Ask a Stripper. And
right.
Today, it's Ask a Cop.
That could be interesting.
Yeah.
Going to give you a shot to ask the questions that you have of the police. We were talking before, really, the only time you have any kind of interaction, unless you know or are friends with a cop, is when they pull you over.
Yep.
And they're not really open to a Q&A at that point. You know what I mean? Like, they need to write you the ticket and move on, so you don't really get to ask questions like that.
That's not the time for, are those uniforms itchy? I mean, whatever questions you've had, you can't really bring up as they're writing you a ticket.
No.
Are those uniforms itchy? I'm just making a note for later. No, I'm just making a note for later. I don't want to lose that question.
Okay, good.
Also on the show today, we have actor-director Kevin Smith.
Yes.
Love that.
Yep.
He's the best. He's coming in studio.
Now, he's just driving in, right?
As opposed to flying?
He's not flying to get here, right? So we can count on him? He'll be here?
He's just driving.
Okay. He's just driving. That'd be fine.
Yeah.
We also have Thanks for the Info Bean.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. How dare you.
We have more tickets for April Foolishness.
Yep.
We have a game in the 6 o'clock hour for you to earn them. And we have snowboarder Sean White in studio.
How about that?
Gold medalist both in the X Games and at the Olympics, Sean White. will be here this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. How about that? So we'll do that. We'll take a quick break and come back with Ralph. Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 551.
I'm sorry, I missed Ralph's last comment right before the song. Could you repeat? I didn't quite hear the context of the discussion.
He said, I really like that 2 a.m. song. Huh?
In that situation, with the bases loaded, I would bunt. That's what I said. I was just talking spring training.
Sure.
What about Kevin and Bean's April Foolish this Saturday, April 3rd at the Gibson Amphitheater? Just announced yesterday, featuring our old friends Jimmy Kimmel, Adam Carolla also. Jeffrey Ross will be there. Sarah Silverman, Aziz Ansari, Joe Rogan, Jay Moore, Bill Burr, Jimmy's house band from the TV show Cleeter and the Cleetones, and so much more.
Dr. It's Laura. Awesome.
I don't
believe
she's
coming by. She's going to do a chunk. She's
going to yell at people.
Yeah.
It's an awesome lineup. Tickets go on sale Saturday to the public. Thursday is the pre-sale. Go to kevinandbean.com to sign up for the street team, and you'll have a chance to buy them before they go on sale to the general public. And we have tickets you can win next hour right here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat for Tuesday. What's happening?
Pat Robertson's going to do a set.
Yeah, he's funny.
Yeah. He's hilarious.
Dick Cheney's going to cruise by.
Yes.
Got some new material he's trying to work out. It's going to be quite the lineup. You know what? Just when you think you got it rough, just be glad you live in the U.S. of A.
Yeah.
Be happy you live in these United States of America, my friends. The greatest goddamn country on God's green earth. Because in Mozambique, two men are being sued by a man who owned a goat that they raped.
Oh, my God.
What?
Oh.
And the goat's owner is suing them, insisting that they pay a dowry and then marry it. The owner wants them to make an honest goat out of that goat, and the two men are now being taken to court to force them to do so.
Well, the goat is now tainted. The goat is not attracted to the next guy that comes along. That's sexually active.
So those two guys should have to marry that goat. I think he's got a point.
That's fair.
Mozambique.
Wow.
It's not just for breakfast anymore.
I don't care how horny you are. A goat never looks good, right?
Right.
Ever. Ever.
Well, two guys did it. One of them talked him and the other guy into it. I'm telling you.
Sure.
Those things don't just happen by accident. Seriously. You and me, the goat.
What there was alcohol.
No! Come on. I'll give you $5. These are two closeted gay guys who were so desperately not to be gay, they put a goat between them. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. They're using the goat as a sex toy. So, no, we're not gay. We had sex with that goat, sure. But we didn't touch each other. All right. It is showbiz time. Last night, Bachelor was very exciting.
You watched this?
Skill.
So, no.
Stopped by and said to Clarissa.
Skill
love you.
And Clarissa?
Yeah. Strange names this year.
I think it's Jake is the guy.
Yes.
One of the girls is named Tenley.
Yes.
And I don't know who the other girl is.
The other one is
Franca. He knows.
No. I don't know.
I really don't. I haven't seen a minute of it, but, you know, it's
hard
to miss.
The reason I bring it up is because Jake has been nailed. Jake Pavelka is also one of the new cast members for season 10 of Dancing with the Stars.
Oh, wow.
They released a list last night, ABC did, of their contestants for the new season of Dancing with the Stars, and Bachelor Jake is going to be in that list, as is Olympic gold medalist Evan Lesicek. He or she does excellent work in those Olympics.
I believe he won a gold medal in figure skating.
Well, there you go.
The Olympics just passed.
Pussycat Dolls' Nicole Scherzinger.
Oh, right. Now we're talking. Okay.
Will be competing as well.
Good choice.
As will reality star Kate Gosselin. Glad to see her getting some publicity again.
Dude,
glad Kate's going to
cause that's going to cause a backlash with some people, I betcha.
Well, yeah, because they practice for hours every day.
So, what else does she have to do, Lisa? Oh, wait a minute. She has 27 children.
Eight kids.
John and Kate plus eight nannies. The next series. Niecy Nash from The Insider in Reno 911. How did this woman start getting 19 jobs?
I don't know.
She wasn't talented enough to have one. Erin Andrews, former nude photo girl from ESPN.
That's what I'm talking about.
Hope she dances nude so I can look at her through a pinhole.
I hope they put a hidden camera in her dressing room. That would be awesome.
Oh, yeah. I would do everything to her. I would wreck that chick.
Shannon Doherty from Beverly Hills 90210.
Aye.
Okay.
Aye. Aiden Turner. Aiden Turner is very good. He or she is from All My Children.
Oh, excellent actor slash actress.
Yes. Pamela Anderson, as I mentioned earlier in the week, is going to be dancing on the Dancing with the Stars.
Pam Anderson?
Chad Ochocinco, wide receiver for the Cincy Bengals.
When did they start doing the stunt casting, which works for me? I mean, now they all of these
every season.
They've always had an NFL player. They've always had an NFL player.
It's never reached the level of this where I'm actually interested in watching, maybe. I won't, but I'm interested. Well,
and they really upped the poon factor. I mean, Nicole alone would be hot, but to add Aaron Andrews, too, like, I might be in, too.
They've always had hot chicks on here, too.
They always pull one out of nowhere, but that's two pretty hot chicks.
Right, but then you got to subtract Pam Anderson. So then it comes down low.
You know, the dancers, by the way, are always infinitely hotter than any of the celebrities that they pick.
Yeah, the coaches.
The female girls that they're dancing with the dudes. And lastly, former astronaut Buzz Aldrin.
There it is.
Will also be competing. There it is. 80-year-old former astronaut Buzz Aldrin.
Beaton loves that guy, and
I couldn't be more excited about
this. He's barely alive.
That's the reason to watch, is because you know he is going to fall and hit his head and die on national television, and that's going to be awesome.
It's not a good career trajectory to go from second man on the moon to dancing on reality TV. I will admit that.
There will be a broken hip or something involving Buzz, and that will make me laugh. I want him to bleed out. I'd like him to bleed out during the tango, hit his head, and then just bleed out.
His partner will just keep dancing, and he'll just be laying there. Oh.
Yeah, exactly. Just
but
stroking.
Haven't they had several quite elderly contestants on Dancing with the Stars throughout the years?
I don't know, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's one of
the oldest one was actress, you know, the woman Phyllis. Played Phyllis on
Closely
Trump. She was around 80 also, wasn't she?
She was in her late 70s, yeah. But she also is a yoga fanatic, and, you know, she's like a martial artist, and she was the Queen of Siam, and I mean, she was a very spry late 70s.
How's Buzz?
Buzz is not spry, is what I'm telling you. He is feeble.
Although, if anyone looks at him wrong, you know that he's going to deck him.
He decked somebody 10 years ago.
Yeah,
by
one
the way.
Time. Take
one
it easy.
Time. He is not an MMA fighter. So let's stop talking about Buzz's record in the ring, shall we?
Hold on. I've got the tape of him decking that guy. Here we go.
You're a coward and a liar and a thief.
There it was, right there.
Yeah.
Buzzkill!
That guy, by the way, was no opponent.
You're a coward and a liar, and oh, my glasses are so heavy on my face.
Buzz Aldrin is so gangster.
Exactly. Thank you.
So now we got to hear about this from Bean for the next.
I love
16
Buzz.
Weeks.
You know that.
Love Buzz.
He's
in
my
private.
Man.
So you're actually going to watch this show?
No, I'm not going to watch it.
Today's celebrity birthdays: Bryce Dallas Howard. Speaking of hotties, is 29 years old today. Singer Chris Martin of Coldplay celebrates his 33rd birthday. John Bon Jovi, lead singer of the band Bon Jovi from their album Bon Jovi, featuring the single Bon Jovi, is 48 years old today. And actor Daniel Craig, probably better known as 007 James Bond to you, is known as something else to Sean Connery.
Fellow humanitarian.
That's right. Daniel Craig's 42 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
All right. How about joining us Saturday, April 3rd at the Gibson Amphitheater in Los Angeles, California for the Kevin and Bean April Foolishness. We had such a great time out there last year, didn't we?
Well, it was so much fun.
It's really great because you don't usually, if you go see comedians, you usually get to see a comedian, a headliner, and maybe an opening act. But this is, you know, 5, 6, 7 just people that could sell out the Gibson on their own, one right after the other.
Yeah, it's an all-star night of comedy. We couldn't be prouder. We couldn't be more grateful to our friends who have agreed to help us out, because all the proceeds of the ticket sales are going to be going to great local charities, including Boarding for Breast Cancer and Camp Laurel. You can get all the details about the charities and the show at kevinandbean.com. Jimmy Kimmel, Jay Moore, Joe Rogan, Aziz Ansari, Sarah Silverman, Adam Carolla, Bill Burr, Jeffrey Ross. That's your lineup. If you want to go, you'll have to earn them. Tickets aren't on sale yet, but we are going to be giving away some tickets to you. You can call now at 1-800-520-1067. You'll be on hold for a few minutes, but you get a chance to play for the tickets coming right up on the Kevin and Bean Show.
First, it's time for...
Thanks for that info, Bean!
This is where you make up stuff that I allegedly say during the records. Is that what this bit is?
Here's the thing. First of all, allegedly involved. I write as you speak.
Yes, he does.
Bean has something called Asperger's syndrome.
Asperger's is a condition on the autistic spectrum which makes it difficult for a person to make connections with other people.
Yeah. They are very interested in the stuff they're interested in. They have zero read if they're talking to somebody else, they don't have any read of, hey, maybe I'm boring them. Hey, maybe they're not interested as much as I am.
Right.
They just, it's a monologue. It's just a one way. They say what they're interested in.
Spitting it out.
Right.
All right. Let me.
This feature is also known as Bean Barfs His Brain.
Okay. But look at it this way, a completely different way. I'm not the guy at work who's a lump in the corner who never speaks up or adds anything to the conversation.
That would be
sweet
if that were the case.
How dare you?
So, and again, some ground rules. We're not looking for further clarification. We all understand what you were talking about, and you don't need to give us more detail now, as if we're saying, hey, Bean, tell us more. This feature is not, hey, Bean, tell us more. This is thanks for that info, Bean. So,
All right. What do you got?
So what happens is we play commercials, we play music here at the radio station. And while that's happening, we have conversation in the room. Well, the rest of us have conversation in the room.
Mm-hmm.
Every once in a while, Bean, who's online most of the time reading something that none of us have any idea about, he will just interject something just out of the blue. And it's not like anyone was having a conversation about that topic where he's joining in. It's just completely out of the blue.
He doesn't need any kind of opening.
No opening. Oh, he doesn't need any.
Lisa is hot today. Wow.
So thanks for that info, Bean, is what we do. I write it down verbatim. The rule is when Bean says something out of the blue, there's no responding. That's the rule. You have to have rules or society falls apart. Lisa, her natural reaction is to, you know, engage.
I'm a friendly person.
Is to engage on any topic.
Rude.
Right, because you're nice.
Yes.
Mike is just a mini Bean.
Yeah,
Mike really is just heading down Bean Lane. So,
well, maybe Mike is interested in more than the three subjects in the world that you're interested in. Maybe that's what it is. Is that Mike has some curiosity about new things?
That's great. Call him on the phone. Email him all day long. Text him if you'd like. I don't care. But the rest of us aren't necessarily interested. So, for example, and this is one of the times when Psycho Mike followed the rule. Bean says, and he always does this now because Mike is a mini Bean, right?
Yes.
So Bean now, instead of just throwing it out to the room, will identify Mike to try and engage him on the conversation because he knows he's
weak. It's harder to ignore when he uses your name.
So there's a commercial playing or something, and out of the blue, Bean says, Mike, I had to unfollow the fat boys. Now, I'm guessing he's talking about Twitter.
Yes.
I don't know why you follow the fat boys in the beginning, but I had to unfollow the fat boys. Psycho Mike, in a rare instance, didn't say anything. No response.
Oh,
right?
Good for you.
And so Bean continues. See, that's the weird disconnect right here. Usually if you say something, an opening line, and no one says anything, you go, wow, no one's interested. Maybe I should just shut up. Not Bean. They tweet too much. I had to unfollow the fat boys.
Mike is a Twitter aficionado as well, and I thought that would be information to be useful to him. If he were thinking of following the fat boys, I was just warning him that he's setting himself up for too many tweets.
Right, don't need further clarification. Need less of that.
Thanks for that info, Bean.
Now, here's an example where I broke the rules and Mike broke the rules.
Wow.
Both of us. Bean says, verbatim, you guys have Chick-fil-A down there. I don't know. You know, obviously he's online. He's reading something about Chick-fil-A restaurants. I don't know how that makes the cut. But Psycho Mike says, yes, we do. And then Bean says, looks like they're going to introduce a new sandwich.
And you said something?
Not yet. Now nothing was said. After it looks like they're going to introduce a new sandwich. Okay. Now, if anybody wanted to ask a question, it would be there.
Sure.
Oh, yeah. What kind of sandwich? They haven't done that in a long time. And then I broke the rule by yelling at Bean. I said, how does that story get your attention? Because in my mind, you know, you're online, you come across thousands of stories. The one that says Chick-fil-A is introducing a new sandwich, I don't even get past Chick-fil-A.
That's a commercial. And that's what that is.
Yes, and I move on to anything else.
Yes.
Just I don't read that. So I say, how does that get your attention? And Bean says, I'm interested in a lot of things.
Thanks for that info, Bean.
Look, there are people out there who are crazy for Chick-fil-A, just like there are hardcore Krispy Kreme fans,
right.
Or I'm a hardcore 7-Eleven fan, and they're really interested
right.
in stuff like that. And I thought maybe you guys were Chick-fil-A fans and would be excited about, just like you are when the McRib comes back, like Dave goes crazy for the McRib. It's the type of thing that some people are interested in.
Bean, when we do Thanks for That Info, Bean, don't you find yourself every single time saying, I thought you guys would be interested? How many times have you used that sentence?
Oh, that is true.
And it's been false every time. Now, did you start with, hey, does anyone down there like Chick-fil-A?
No, you said, do you have any Chick-fil-A's?
Because I didn't, because I wasn't going to continue on with the story if you guys didn't have Chick-fil-A, didn't know what it was, and
you
didn't
care
about
it. You were
going
to do the whole thing regardless.
No, that's not true.
You don't need a receiving end for a conversation.
That's exactly why I was trying to find out whether you had Chick-fil-A, because if you didn't have Chick-fil-A, there'd be no interest on your part of the
news. Well, wouldn't the next step be, do you care about Chick-fil-A?
I don't have time to ask that of every single conversation. Come on.
This came out of nowhere. Leonardo DiCaprio. It's a good-looking kid.
Now, I'm this close to being Larry King, aren't I?
I'm not sure why that happened.
That's that info bean.
But because then, every time he comes out with another movie, you go,
need further clarification.
How is that guy still so good-looking? Why isn't he looking at all older? He's just
that's
looking
that
better.
Info bean.
Just weird.
And this is where Psycho Mike went crazy. Because Bean couldn't get a word in edgewise after that.
Yeah.
Psycho Mike says, and I quote, I agree. I don't think he was a good-looking kid when he was younger, but now I agree. He's a good-looking dude. So Mike said literally more than Bean.
Oh, Mike.
Which is really, that's...
Because you're talking about pretty boys.
Yeah, exactly. Well,
that's Mike's specialty.
He can't resist.
And I'd like to point to that as maybe somebody was interested in what I had to say.
That's info, Bean.
Maybe it was a good topic. Because
Mike doesn't count. Mike does not count. He really doesn't. I mean, he is a mini you.
Yeah.
So he's an easy target. Doesn't mean the rest of us care. Here's one of my favorites the last couple of weeks. We weren't talking about politics. We weren't talking about anything. We were, you know, all of us were whatever, answering email or online. I don't answer email, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Bean says, out of the blue, I miss John McCain's angry face.
Dear God.
Remember those pictures of
that's
him?
That's that info bees.
Face
off. That's that info bees.
So furious.
That's that info bees.
That was good times.
That would have been funny had all the rest of the conversation been normal. But when it's in the context of I have a list,
just
I mean,
boom,
come on.
Out of the blue.
So then out of the blue, here's my favorite one. And this is Bean and Psycho Mike with the old 1-2. In sports, they call it the 1-2. The give and go.
Okay.
Yeah. Bean passes it to Mike. Mike catches it and passes it back to Bean. Bean passes it back to Mike. Mike catches it and passes it back to Bean. What about Toto winning a Grammy in 1983 for Album of the Year? Now, Bean said that out of the blue. We weren't talking about the Grammys.
Or 1983.
80s music, nothing. What about Toto winning a Grammy? So, and then no one says anything, and then Bean says, what's up with that? Now, I don't know the answer to...
There's nothing to say to that.
They won a what Grammy in 1983. Mean? You want clarification now?
I'm just asking, in retrospect, when
got
you
it.
Look back on that, is that
got
a good
it.
Choice?
That's
all.
Info Bean.
It was so
then,
of the moment, but I don't think it's aged very well. That's
so then point. Psycho Mike starts singing what I presume is a Toto song, Takes You All the Way. That was Psycho Mike's input.
Okay.
And then Bean says, yep, that's another song by Toto. That's them. And remember Rosanna? And then Psycho Mike says, yep. And then Bean says, that was Song of the Year. And then Psycho Mike says, was Rosanna about Rosanna Arquette? And then Bean says, wait, yes, yes it was.
That's that info, Bean.
I remember that.
That was a 15-minute chunk of hell right there.
Or 20 seconds. But thank God for Psycho Mike having my back down there occasionally.
Yeah,
I appreciate it.
And finally, Bean's favorite planet is Pluto. I don't have that category. I don't have a favorite planet.
No.
To me, planets are just, they're there. They exist. I don't have a favorite. I don't pick favorites.
Most
not even Earth?
Don't.
You wouldn't even say that Earth is your favorite planet?
Because we just don't think about it.
No, because I don't have that category. I mean, if you were to pin me down with a knife to my throat and say, you have to come up with a favorite planet, okay, I'd go Earth. But
okay.
But I mean, I wouldn't have a conversation about that because I don't really prefer one over the other. What
that's
if I,
weird.
So then, so Bean says, one of my favorite people in the world right now is on TV being interviewed. And Ralph says, you can turn that off, right? And Bean says,
There's also a mini-series on PBS later this month, all about Pluto.
Actually, what he said was one of my favorite astrologers.
I'm sorry.
Astronomers.
Neil deGrasse Tyson. One of my favorite astronomers.
I'm sorry. What's his name?
Neil deGrasse Tyson.
That's that info bean.
What's his name?
Neil deGrasse Tyson. Oh!
So less reading out loud. You can read to yourself, right? Can you read silently?
You need further information on the topics that I bring up. I got it now. I'm sad.
That's that info bit.
And now, a moment with Ralph.
It'd be great to have Air Supply gunning down the lead singer of some other band.
That was a moment with Ralph.
That's how I live, not him. It is 27 minutes after 6 o'clock.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Very excited about the announcement yesterday of Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness. Big show Saturday, April 3rd at the Gibson Amphitheater. Tremendous all-star lineup of comedy. I believe we have tickets to give away, but it's not an easy game to win. Am I right, Kevin?
That's correct.
Presenting the hardest game in the world.
Morning, Mr. Announcer Man.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean.
Mr. Announcer Man, I don't think we've talked to you at all in 2010. How have you and Mrs. Announcer Man been doing?
We've been great.
Fantastic.
Good.
Would you like to explain to the contestants how the hardest game in the world is played?
Why, sure. We'll be naming comedians that will be participating in this year's April Foolishness Comedy Concert. All you need to do is to identify that comedian. Oh, I almost forgot. We'll be saying their names backwards.
Yay!
Well, that doesn't sound easy at all. Shall we give it a try?
It's as hard as looking at Roger Ebert's face.
Oh, wow. You're
That's
on the Roger
how hard
Ebert.
It is.
You're coming down on Roger, too?
It's really
wow.
hard.
All right. Who's our first contestant, Mr. Announcer Man?
First up is Carol. She caters to anyone.
Oh. I think she's in catering.
Oh, yeah. My bad.
Hey, Carol.
Hi, good morning.
Hi.
All right, listen up. Since you're the first contestant, I'll over-explain it. You're about to hear the name of one of the performers on the bill for April 3rd's Kevin and Bean April Foolishness. All you have to do is tell us whose name this is backwards. Listen up. We can only play it twice.
Here you go. Here's the
first time.
All right, that's once. Here's another try. Which comedian is that?
Jay Moore.
Adam Carolla.
Oh,
sorry.
Thanks for playing. Thank you know, you, the you can hear the A sound at the beginning and at the end. I thought that might be a hint, but not so much for Carol. Who's next, Mr. Announcer Man?
Next up is John. He's a finance manager.
Hey, John. Hey, John.
Johnny boy.
Going once.
Right. Johnny. George.
Move on.
There he is.
Oh. I'm not kidding when I say I was hanging up as he got on the phone. Sorry.
Might be good advice to have your radio turned off and listen on the phone because the delay will screw up. Who's our alternate contestant, Mr. Announcer Man?
Next up is James. He's secure.
He's in security. James,
not
hi.
Insecure.
Hey, good morning, guys. Good morning, Lisa.
Hi, James.
Hello.
You ready for your comedian?
Yes.
Here you go. Tell us who this is.
Wow, one more time. Sarah Silverman?
Jeffrey Ross.
Oh.
Yeah.
No way.
No way.
It's the hardest game in the world.
Listen, if I could just give a hint, the very first sound that you hear is the very final sound of their name.
Oh, that's good. Let me write that down.
But I'm just saying.
No, that's good. That's started good
with
last one. Last is
Jeffrey Ross.
Got
so,
it.
All right.
Mr. Gatsman, would you categorize this game as easy or not? All right, who's next?
Next up is Scott. He's a chef.
Hi, Scott.
Hey, how's it going?
Very well, thank you. Well, as far as giving away tickets, it's not going as well as we had hoped, but what are you going to do? You ready for your comedian?
Yeah.
Here you go.
Joe Rogan?
Yep, sure sounds Bill like Joe
Burr.
Rogan.
Okay.
Oh, wow. Sorry, that's Bill Burr.
So. This game isn't easy. All right.
It's hard!
We have time for a couple more, Mr. Announcer Man.
Let's talk to Chris. He's a production assistant. That's showbiz talk for coffee getter.
Hey, Chris.
Hey, sorry, I was getting coffee. How's it going?
Man, nicely done.
All right, good luck. Listen up. Here's your comedian.
Nigga, who was?
Whoa. One more time.
Nigga, who was?
Jay Moore.
No.
Joe Rogan.
This doesn't seem to be going very well.
It's the hardest game in the world!
How many tickets have we given away so far? Zero?
None!
All right, good.
One more contestant, Mr. Announcer Man. Who do you like?
Let's talk to Juan.
All right, hi, Juan.
Morning.
No one has won yet. You'll be the only one if you do it. So congratulations, good luck. Here you go.
Okay.
I'm congratulating him already.
Here us not sees the...
Oh, that's a giveaway.
Yeah. Hear us not. See us not.
Silverman?
Yeah. Oh, wait, no.
Aziz Ansari.
It sounds exactly the same backwards as it does forwards, Juan. Come on.
Comedy fans are stupid.
Wow, so we gave away no tickets.
No one's going.
All right.
I know this game is hard, but it's not that hard.
Well, I guarantee I would get zero of these. And I'm
you
would have
gotten
the
that
list.
One. You would have gotten Aziz Ansari.
Maybe, because it
Come
did
on.
Sound exactly the same backwards.
But
exactly.
The last sound is the first sound of the game, and I know things.
Thank you, Mr. Announcer Man. We'll have to try it again.
It's hard! Yes, it is.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 6:39.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. It's been a while since we've done an Ask-A on this program. It's a feature we've been doing for years, and it's been a while. But today is Ask a Police Officer. That'll be coming up in about 20 minutes or so right here on the Kevin and Bean Show. So if you've always had a question for a lawman, today is going to be your day to get that in, coming up just after the top of the hour.
Steven Seagal, lawman.
Maybe not him, but other lawmen.
We also have Shaun White coming up later this morning.
What?
Yeah. Very excited about that. Gold medal winner. First of all, let's talk about Roger Ebert and Bean's obsession with Roger Ebert, I guess.
Well, I wouldn't say I'm obsessed, but I am a huge fan of his work and have been for all of my adult life. I think he's a tremendous film critic and seems like a very smart, very articulate guy. And I'm, obviously I feel terrible about the health problems that he's had in recent years.
He had thyroid cancer, so they had to do surgery. And basically, without trying to be too gross, they did have to entirely remove his jaw.
Well, he got one cancer right after another, jaw cancer included, and yeah, they took away half of his face. So it's been pretty grim times for Mr. Ebert. Mm.
So he's been trying to figure out a way to communicate. So what they've done is they've taken his own voice from all of his DVD commentaries, and they put him into a computer so that then now he can type into a keyboard and his voice can be used. That's how he can talk.
Well, that's kind of amazing.
So that's how it's happening, and that's how he's going to do the interview today with a certain Oprah Winfrey.
Oh, wow.
It is amazing because he was never satisfied with any of the other stock voices, the computer voices that you get for other people who have lost the ability to speak. And he thought, well, this is crazy. Why hasn't technology moved along so much any further than this? Because we have it. You know, we can do so much with computers. So they painstakingly went through all of his DVD commentary tracks and were able to fashion almost every word that he'll ever need to use, even words he's never said before. They can edit together. And now you'll hear his real voice when he sits down with Oprah today. This is his first TV interview, I think, since this process has been completed. So I'm very excited to see it. And believe it or not, we asked producer Alex if there's any chance that, since Mr. Ebert is doing interviews now, if he'd talk to us, and she lined him up for us, and we have the great Pulitzer Prize winning Roger Ebert on the phone with us now on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Roger. How are you?
Oh, my God.
Okay. Do you have your computer there where we can hear your voice?
I'm Roger Ebert of the Chicago Sun-Times.
There we go.
There we go. Okay. That sounds fantastic. That sounds great. How are you feeling today?
I'm Roger Ebert of the Chicago Sun-Times.
All right. We got that. Are you doing well?
I'm Roger Ebert of the Chicago Sun-Times.
So do you plan to do more work on television now that the technology has advanced to the point where you can use your own voice from a computer?
I'm Roger Ebert of the Chicago Sun-Times.
Now, you have an interview with Oprah today. Are you excited about that?
Raging Bull.
Okay. Is that a yes?
Special edition, taxi by Mini Group 70s. Boy, was I right.
Are you going to be talking about, you continued to do film criticism in the newspaper. Are you going to be talking about the Oscars when you're on the show today?
My first Chicago Bull. Top four. It says, here they all, driver.
Yeah.
It's going to be a tough interview.
Re-edit some of those. Are you going to be talking about the Oscars this weekend?
Everything that guy told her was 20 years. Not a horror story, unless, of course, I'm Roger Ebert of the Chicago Sun-Times.
Did you say, uh-oh?
It does seem like you've got some work to do. Hey, Roger, tell me if this is true or not. I heard that you are no longer able to eat, and they actually, feed you with paste in a tube.
But I have seen these movies and the 1980s, one of the best films of the decade. I'm Roger Ebert of the Chicago Sun-Times.
That doesn't sound like it's working well.
I'm telling you, first of all, I'm Roger Ebert of the Chicago Sun-Times. Don't look like people with too much makeup on.
Yeah. Roger, how long before the Oprah interview? Can you get that
glitch fixed? I predicted in that article.
Yes, it is.
And the 1980s. The next morning, she calls her friend and she finds out, I'm Roger Ebert of the Chicago Sun-Times. Okay. For 15 years, why don't they get some new batteries? Really got me involved. I'm Roger Ebert.
Okay, sounds like your computer's going haywire there, Roger.
And thanks have that for being here on the balcony. Gas.
What was that?
Oh, no. I'm afraid what that might have been. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show, minutes away from Ask a Cop. Ralph, you were complaining earlier that Oprah's program has turned into a freak show. We just had Roger Ebert on. He didn't sound very good.
Well,
that's your point, right?
Yeah.
Tomorrow, we have your blind film critic on. He's going to be joining us with his Oscar predictions. The guy who runs the website who's blind, who goes to see all the movies.
She's got quite a week going.
No, we're having them on. We're having a blind movie critic.
Oh, I thought Oprah was.
No. We have quite a week going.
I mean, no, that's par for the cake. Good course. I got it. Par for the course.
For us.
It was almost par for the cake there for a minute.
And, believe it or not, the return of Courtney Love on tomorrow's Kevin and Bean Show. One of our all-time most fascinating guests. She'll be here tomorrow.
That blind movie critic is the luckiest man on the planet.
That's a good point. First, though, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat for a Tuesday. What's going on?
Before I get to the Showbiz Beat, I've got something very cool to give away. How about a five-pack of DVDs featuring five of the best picture-nominated films from this year? How about that?
All right.
This is from the folks over at the 82nd Academy Awards. They're giving away a five-pack of DVDs. You can be the winner if you answer my trivia question. Here's the trivia question. You know I've got a serious man crush on Jeff Bridges.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Who was nominated, of course, for Best Actor this year for his role in Crazy Heart. Jeff's first Oscar nomination was in 1971. Almost 40 years ago was his first nomination. That's how long he's been in the business. He was very young when he got started. The nomination was for Best Supporting Actor. What was the movie that Jeff was in that he was nominated for in 1971? What was the 1971 film that he was nominated for Best Supporting Actor? If you know the answer, call now, 1-800-520-1067. The first person through with the correct answer gets a special DVD prize pack containing five of the best picture nominated films from the 82nd Academy Awards. And, of course, you can watch the Oscars on ABC7 at 5 o'clock here in Southern California. Make sure you check that out. All right, Rihanna has another tattoo. She's got quite the growing collection, I'll have you know.
Mm-hmm.
This one apparently is an inscription that reads, "Put the lime in the coconut."
No.
Shake it all up. I thought was odd. I'm sorry. That was a typo. It's never a failure, always a lesson.
Never a failure, always a lesson.
We can learn from our mistakes, says Rihanna. Never a failure, always a lesson.
Sounds like one of those posters that they put out.
With a cat hanging off of a branch or something?
Those motivational posters.
Yeah. She's got another saying on her back. Apparently it says, learn how to duck. That's another inscription.
What?
She couldn't use that advice?
Wow.
That wouldn't come in handy?
Wow.
Too soon?
Maybe.
I think it was verging on stupid what you just did.
Kesha, with a dollar sign.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I hate her.
Thinks her buddy Katy Perry, with one T, has found herself a good one when it comes to husbands. Kesha, of course, is friends with Katie and hangs out with her fiancé, Russell Brand, quite a bunch, too, and says that he is funny, bright, and hopes that he will become a matchmaker for her in his spare time. She says, I'd love for him to find me a booty call in England because I love English dudes. Oh, Kesha, you're so edgy.
She's so edgy.
You are so edgy.
And she uses that little baby voice all the time. Come on.
She likes to have party and have sex with dudes she barely even knows. Because she's Kesha with a dollar sign.
She's a pimp.
She plays by her own rules.
Party don't stop till I show up. F you.
Speaking of Russell Brand, this is a bad idea, right?
Yes.
Warner Brothers has announced they are remaking the hilarious Dudley Moore comedy Arthur, starring Russell Brand. This time he will play the drunken playboy who can inherit a fortune if he'll marry the woman that his father picks out for him instead of the woman he falls in love with.
I don't remember much about that movie, but he seems like he would be well at that.
I'll have
well
you know, Arthur is one of my favorite comedies of all time.
Is it really?
It's like wow. Ghostbusters for you. That's what Arthur wow. is for me. Because I'm a huge fan of British comedy. I think Dudley Moore's genius in it. And it really is really one of my favorite
movies. And John Gielgud is unbelievable in it, too.
Yeah, Gielgud was amazing. I think he won an Oscar for his performance.
I think he did, yeah.
As Arthur's butler. But here's the thing. It was very much a movie of its time. It was made in the 80s, and it was very funny to see Arthur being a loaded, drunken alcoholic all the time, stumbling around and driving, by the way, while drinking out of a giant bottle of scotch. You could get away with stuff at that time that you couldn't do now. They, in fact, they made a sequel. And it, by that time, Mothers Against Drunk Driving had sort of come into its own, and people thought being an alcoholic wasn't quite as funny as it seemed to be at
Not
one
as
point.
As funny as it used to be.
So I think they're going to be hard-pressed to make this work as well as the original.
Maybe they'll put them on drugs.
Oh, now that would be funny. See? Drugs are funny.
We have an answer to your question if you want, Ralph.
What?
Yeah.
All right. Talk to Andrea.
Andrea,
what motion picture was Jeff Bridges nominated for Best Supporting Actor in 1971?
The Last Picture Show.
The Last Picture Show is right. That's a great movie, too. Kevin, you wouldn't like it. It's in black and white, but it's a great, great movie.
Yeah, no thanks.
Peter Bogdanovich. Congratulations. Hold on. We're going to give you a five-pack of DVDs featuring five of the 10 nominated films from this year's Oscars.
Yay.
Yay for you. Congratulations. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays, shall we? Bryce Dallas Howard is 29 years old today. She, of course, the daughter of Ron Howard, and a very talented and lovely actress in her own right. Remember her in, what was that thing she was all hot in? Spider-Man. Spider-Man 3. She was blonde in that, remember? She was Gwen Stacy. She was Gwen Stacy in that. Mm. Yeah, she was in The Village, too. She's the only good thing in The Village.
Yeah.
She's hot.
Yeah.
She's 29 years old. Chris Martin of Coldplay is 33 years old today. John Bon Jovi of Bon Jovi is 48. And Daniel Craig celebrates his 42nd birthday today. Rumor has it he may manage to crack a smile in the honor of his birthday.
Oh, don't get crazy.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Have all the girls started showing up at the radio station ahead of Shaun White's arrival here in an hour? Are they starting to get in the parking lot waiting for him?
I think they have a holding area in one of the conference rooms.
Anyway, Olympic gold medalist Shaun White, frequent guest of the Kevin Bean Show over the years, returns today. We'll have him for you coming up next hour. Right now, though, it's been a while, ladies and gentlemen, since we've done an Ask. Today, we're up to Ask a Police Officer. Sergeant Steve is in the studio with us. Hi, Sergeant. How are you?
Good. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for joining us. You are not just a cop. You're some sort of Superman. 15 years law enforcement, active police sergeant, member of the California Bar, an adjunct professor of law. What's up with that?
Yeah, slow it down some,
overachiever.
Dude.
I've been busy.
You're ruining the curve.
How do you have time to be a police officer and also go to – how did you have time to be a police officer and also go to law school? That's crazy.
It was a challenge. It was law school usually during the day and work at night or vice versa. It was a long 4 years.
But isn't there a lot of studying that goes into law school? I mean, were you on the force sitting in your car at night? People are like breaking into buildings and running by and you're like in your book going, I got to finish this before tomorrow.
Let's hope the boss isn't listening, but yes.
Yes.
No, I was. It was every day off and every hour off in the library for about 4 years.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
Why did you do that?
Well, why I originally did it was I thought I might leave and become a lawyer. Then I got filled with a sense of mission and thought, you know what? A deeper understanding of the law. What's wrong with that for a cop, right?
Well, nothing, but it seems like an extreme
way out of work, right? Yeah. All right. Let's talk about being a police officer here in the 21st century. I would imagine that one of the biggest battles that you have to fight is a public relations battle, is the image, the impression that people have of police officers. Would you say that that's accurate? You run into that a lot?
I would say that's definitely issue number one. Gotten a lot better lately. But, you know, if folks have one negative encounter with a cop, that's it for life.
Yeah.
And part of it is that most of us, our only encounters with the law is a bad situation.
Right. No one calls the police to tell us everything's going fine. Exactly.
Hey, guys, just want to let you know everything's thumbs up.
Thumbs up.
Doing well today. Don't need you. Yeah, but thanks for being there.
Exactly.
Now, we know that our listeners have questions for all the experts that we bring in the Ask a series, and we're going to open up the phones in a minute at 1-800-520-1067. Give us a little bit more of your day-to-day. Are you on the street now, or are you in a suit behind a desk, or where are you working now?
I am back on the street now. I have a small little unit of 10 officers that get sent to sort of the hot spots of crime, if you will, in a small little area called Watts in South Los Angeles.
And that's your beat?
Right.
And you don't have enough seniority to go anywhere else?
you might be amazed, but the way the cops think, the seniority allows me to do that.
Is that right?
Yes, that's because what people are seeking.
It's a difficult position, and you want to make sure that it gets handled well.
Right. The analogy I always use is you wouldn't want to be a teacher with no students in your classroom, so cops okay. want to practice their craft.
All right, so you're an LAPD officer, then you were a detective.
Right, I was a detective.
And now you're no longer a detective, you're back to being an LAPD police officer?
Yeah, the way it works is it's more or less a staircase. So I started as a patrol officer like all of us do, then was a detective, worked some assignments there, and then promoted to sort of the first line of supervision, which we call sergeant.
Okay, so you're sergeant. Okay.
Right.
All right. What misconceptions do you like to burst for people when they get the opportunity to spend some time with you? Are there things that people believe about the way police work that aren't true?
Absolutely. I think number one is sort of this image we have of cops as being, you know, officious and strong-minded about everything. I try and be a casual, low-key person, just Steve, which really is what 99.9% of the cops that I work with are. They're just out trying to do it right.
And there are a few that make it bad for everyone.
Sure. Like anything else, we're a customer service business. You know, when you go out to dinner and sit down at table 16, you want the waiter to treat you well. And when you call the police, you want the police to treat you well.
What's it like for you personally in social situations? Do people close down or don't want to have too good a time because the man is in the house?
Sure, that happens. You know, you'll hear the lighters start to light up, and maybe it's time for Steve to leave. You know,
I've
spent some time walking out of parties. There's no question, but that's
time for Steve to leave. What a bummer! Right when the parties are getting good.
That's right. That's right. But you know, you take it with it. And I'm a social guy on my days off, as are most cops. And truthfully, most people, 99%, 100% respect. They have some questions. They're curious, but beyond that, it's always positive.
We're going to go right to your calls in 1 minute at 1-800-520-1067. Here's a question I have always wanted to ask, officer, and that is, it's not an insult to call you officer, is it? Even
sergeant. You're
a sergeant also.
Call him sergeant.
I'm not trying to insult you, but which do you prefer, sergeant or officer?
You can call me sergeant or Steve or officer or anything you like.
Okay, it doesn't matter. All right. Don't you find yourself in a situation a lot of times as a police officer where you are asked, your job is to enforce a law that you personally disagree with, in some cases violently, and how do you handle that?
Yeah, that's a tough one to answer. Fortunately, 90% of police work is done on things that there's really not much debate about. But in the end, you know, we're a paramilitary organization. If people want to change a law, they've got a legislative process for that. We enforce them. We're one leg, and you know, police lobby and things like that to make laws and change laws. But essentially, if it's out there and it's unlawful and we see it, we enforce it.
But you've got some leeway on what you choose to arrest somebody on. I mean, you don't have to bust every kid you see, you know, with a joint, right?
Absolutely. And as Kevin asked, one of the reasons I love working in a place where it's sort of busy and unfortunately there is some violent crime is that the folks that I work with and the folks that work for me don't need to mess with the small stuff. Sadly, we have enough of the big stuff to do
with.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. 1-800-520-1067. It's time to ask a cop, and it's time to debut Omar's new masterpiece. I'm a little bit scared. To hear what he's come up with this time, but let's let it roll and see.
We're talking busting all those Steve, cleaning streets of druggies, geese, yelling, hey, you freeze. Bust a cap in all those stupid assholes, arresting all those skis hoes, trying to eat my donut holes. Ask a cop, don't get shot, yelling, put your hands up. They fight day and night, see crime and they bite. Ask a cop, don't get shot, please don't bust me for my pot, no.
Okay.
Wow.
Another world premiere. All right. 1-800-520-1067. Why don't we start with Jose? He's on line four. He's got a basic question. If you're just joining us, Sergeant Steve in the studio. It is Ask a Cop on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Jose. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi. Good morning, Kevin and Bean. Lisa May.
Hi, Jose.
Hi. Hello, Officer Steve.
Hi.
I have a question for you. I'm a college student right now,
at PCC, and I'm trying to get into actual police work. And I just wanted to ask you, how hard is it really to get into the police work as far as the selective process goes?
It's quite selective. You're doing the right thing by being in college. The college degree is the new high school diploma for police work. Many departments are requiring it. Almost all of them encourage it. The main obstacle that you're going to face now, unfortunately, is the economy. Cities go first in the fiscal crisis. The Los Angeles Police Department, we're currently hiring just to attrition.
What does that mean?
So as one person retires, we'll hire another officer.
But not until.
So
my best advice to you, Jose, is apply often and everywhere. And stick with it. It took me years.
How many years did it take you?
It took me over a year and a half and putting myself through a police academy to improve the resume just to get an entry-level job. It's highly, highly competitive.
Wow.
Wow. How about that? What's the pay and benefit situation like? Is it a pretty good job for people if they can get in?
It is a pretty good job. I don't know the numbers specifically, but I'd say the average in Southern California, a brand new cop with a college degree is making in the low 70s with outstanding benefits and a great pension.
Yeah, all right. That's real good compared to a lot of other jobs.
Compared to teaching, for example.
Yeah.
Correct.
All right, let's try Chris. It has to be, he's on line two. Has to be one of the most commonly asked questions of police officers, but let's get it out there for once and for all. Hi, Chris. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. Morning, Lisa.
Hi, Chris.
Hey, I have a quick question. A couple years ago, I got a ticket for what seemed a really, really stupid thing, and I just wanted to know.
What was it? First of all, clarify what it was.
I had my blinker. I made a right turn, and the cops said I didn't have my blinker on long enough.
Okay. That and seems pretty cheap. All right.
Just wanted to know, is there a certain quota that police officers have when they're looking for tickets or when they give out tickets?
Yeah, we sure hear that a lot.
Right. Number one question I get at parties. Mm-hmm. There are no quotas.
Wow, what a terrible party that is.
That's the party I'm about to leave. Right.
That's right.
No, there are no quotas. As a matter of fact, quotas are against the rules in California. But let's face it, the only way to reduce traffic fatalities is to write moving violations.
Okay, but let me ask you that a different way, because there are no quotas is always the answer. Do they have some kind of an average where they say, hey, you know, everyone else is out there writing this many tickets. You're not up to
this. This means you're not working.
Do they do that?
Right. It's fair to say that we expect people to perform around the average of their peers.
Uh-huh.
It's part of your job, arresting people, writing tickets, keeping your uniform clean. And I expect the officers who work for me to write some.
All right. Let me ask you this. And it's obviously just hypothetical because you weren't involved. That guy getting a ticket for not having his turning signal on long enough. That is horrible. That's BS in every way.
Somebody who just wanted to pull that dude over, right?
I haven't seen the ticket. I didn't see the driving.
No, but I'm saying, would you ever pull anyone over for not having their signal on long enough?
Probably not. The violation is for turning when the signal isn't on. So if he made the turn, we don't know if there was a pedestrian there. We don't know, as is often the case, if the cop was sent there because the local residents are complaining about so many people turning unsafely there. A lot of what ifs. Do some people get tickets from cops that I look at and kind of cringe? Absolutely.
Officer Steve, where are you guys now on enforcing the driving while talking on a cell phone up to your ear as a primary offense? Is anyone getting a ticket for that?
You know, I have not seen a single one, and I do review quite a few citations, but I know they're being written. It can be a primary offense in California, whereas in other states, you have to be pulled over for something else.
Right.
And you know, every cop who's worked more than a year has seen some horrible accident from some sort of distracted driving, so just get a headset.
Yeah.
You know.
Okay.
But texting is cool. Right? Is that the official policy statement?
No.
Okay.
1-800-520-1067. A fascinating topic, obviously a fascinating job. So we want to hear your questions for Officer Steve. We'll come back with more of Ask a Cop right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Cue Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness. We announced yesterday, April 3rd, Saturday night at Gibson Amphitheater. Jimmy Kimmel, Jay Moore, Joe Rogan, Aziz Ansari, Sarah Silverman, Jeffrey Ross, Adam Carolla, Bill Burr, Jimmy Kimmel, and the house band, Cleto and the Cletones. You can buy tickets Saturday at noon, or there's a pre-sale. If you want to become a member of the street team, don't tell anyone else, but you can buy tickets ahead of time.
It's on the air, Kevin. Everyone can hear you.
World famous K-Rock at 7:24.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Tuesday. Olympic gold medalist Sean White joins us next hour. Right now, we are taking your calls for Sergeant Steve, Los Angeles police officer, 15 years in law enforcement, 1-800-520-1067. It's time to ask a cop.
We're talking busting all those Steves. Cleaning streets of druggies, geese. Yelling, hey, you freeze. Bust a cap in all those stupid assholes. Arresting all those skis hoes. Trying to eat my donut holes. Ask a cop, don't get shot. Yell it, put your hands up. They fight day and night. See crime and they bite. Ask a cop, don't get shot. Please don't bust me for my pot. No,
no, oh, oh, no, oh, oh.
Ask a cop.
Might need a little further training on the auto-tune.
I would like Sergeant Steve to go arrest Omar.
I agree. I absolutely agree. Hey, before we get back to the calls, I'm so glad you're here, Steve. We've had this conversation many times on our show. Tell us your experience with citizens' arrests. How often are they used? Good thing, bad thing, abused? What's the story on those?
Probably used more often than most people think, and generally a good thing. The reason they're mainly used is that the more minor crimes, which we call misdemeanors, right, a police officer can't arrest you for that unless it occurred in their presence. So the private person, the correct term is private person's arrest, who is a victim of a crime can make that arrest, and then the police do all the processing. We book the person. We do all the work. You're the person arresting someone for, say, punching you in the face, which is a misdemeanor or something like that, allows you to take action when you need to, even though the police weren't there.
Does that stuff turn into a lot of he said, she said, and a lot of arguing? And a lot? I mean, it seems like there's an endless amount of stuff that could go on that keeps it from having a resolution.
It sure does. And when you have he said, she said in a situation like that, sometimes both parties decide they're going to private person's arrest, the opposite party,
right,
and everybody goes to jail.
Oh, yeah, I'm calling the cop on you. Oh, yeah, I'm calling the cops on you.
Yep, and we take them both.
When we've talked about this before, though, I think Kevin said, look, if somebody says they're going to citizen's arrest me, I just say no. You're not. I'm not going to let you do that to me. I guess if you physically can get away, you do that, I guess.
Sure, if you escape from them. But if the police arrive and Kevin points to me and says, I want you to arrest Bean for what he did and it's a misdemeanor, we have to take the person.
I want you to arrest Bean.
All right. Let's get back to your calls for Ask a Cop, 1-800-520-1067. Let's try Peter. He's got a great question on line 4. He speaks, I'm sure, on behalf of most of the Kevin and Bean listeners today. Hi, Peter. You're on with Sergeant Steve. Ask a Cop.
Hey, good morning, guys. I got a quick question. Can I smoke legally marijuana in my house without getting a ticket on my porch?
On your porch? In the middle of the road?
A little different. Porch house.
That's right. Two separate questions. It's always unlawful, right? So the answer from the cop is no, but the police would have to be in your house for some other lawful reason to discover that. On the porch, now you're probably pushing it, and why not stay inside?
Okay, so if he's inside and a cop drives by, say, and sees him in the window, they still can't do anything about that unless there's another reason to go into the house?
Right. If they drove by and they're lawfully placed otherwise, they look in the window and see a huge party going on and there's smoke everywhere and everybody's blazing, maybe that causes some attention. In fact, cops probably aren't going to mess with that. And certainly if you just close your curtains or your shades, there's no lawful way to get in there.
So don't be an a-hole about it. Don't stand up on a street
exactly.
corner.
All right. Thanks for the call. How much of your time is wasted on people who call the cops for a noisy party or just a guy won't take his trash cans up or just BS stuff that you have to respond to because they called you?
Right. Two answers. My time, very little. As I said in the opening when I was talking to Kevin, where I work, sadly or fortunately or however you look at it, I'm very busy with real crime. Yeah. Police officers on an average nationwide spend a lot of time doing that, but maybe it's my 15 years speaking. I actually don't think that's a waste of time.
You know,
if your neighbor's making a lot of noise and that's disturbing the way you enjoy your house that you've worked hard for, let us take care of it. Don't take care of it yourself.
What if you got an a-hole who lights massive amounts of fireworks off in front of your house every single year on the beach in Malibu? What if that happens?
Hold on. Let's clarify. On the 4th of July.
On the 4th of July.
Right. You know, the safe and sane type fireworks are lawful.
Right.
Other fireworks are not.
Correct.
The beauty of your question is you'd have to call the sheriffs because they patrol Malibu, not me.
So you're not going to be arresting Kevin in 4 months is what you're saying.
I promise.
All right. Here's Ray on line one, another topic that has come up before on the Kevin and Bean Show. Ray, you're on with just the right man to answer your question. Ask Sergeant Steve. Go ahead.
Oh, hey, Lisa May. Hey, Kevin and Bean.
Hey there.
My question is it okay if I see a cop texting or, you know, talking on the phone while they're driving and, you know, in a cop car?
Is it okay, meaning is it legal for them or can you pull them over?
Exactly.
It is.
Do police officers have different rules than the rest of us do in terms of what they can do in their car?
When the hands-free law was written, there is an exemption in the code for any emergency worker, by the way, a firefighter, an ambulance driver. We can use hands-free devices while driving if we're doing official business. So it's understood that cellular phones have become such an intimate part of how we communicate mm-hmm. that to stop us, say, for calling from backup or calling the fire department would have been unreasonable. So, yes, there's an exemption.
No, but like just regular, like just driving, texting, having like laughing while they're on the phone.
How many times have you seen that?
Like about 5-7 times.
If I'm talking to my colleagues about professional work and I happen to laugh, yes, I am still exempt.
You guys don't use radios instead?
We do. Cellular phone has some advantages. You don't tie up the radio for non-emergency traffic, things like that.
What's your impression, officer, on the way police officers are portrayed in the movies and on television?
Great question. Generally, I think very positive. There's been some stuff out there that isn't, America's had a love affair with cops since there have been any here. I think a lot of the major media stuff is very positive for cops. These reality shows like Cops, LAPD had their own show for a while. There's one about the police academy out there now. I think that's great because it shows, as I said in the opening, we're just regular people trying to do a good job and do
it. But not the police academy movies.
Those were bad.
I did grow up a Tackleberry fan. Yes,
is that right?
I did.
All right. Okay. You must laugh, though, when you see the way crimes are solved on a CSI or something like that with the police involvement. I mean, everything is so neat and tidy, and it's supposed to be entertainment. It's made for showbiz. It's very different than how hard the actual work is that you guys do, I bet.
Yeah, and so amazingly quick. In a 45-minute episode, they solve the murder. That's the most frustrating thing for cops. Honestly, I don't watch a lot of cop TV. Like, I imagine you guys aren't interested in radio stuff when you're not working.
No.
If you had a realistic TV show about police work, it would probably be dreadfully boring television.
On 24, they can task a satellite and get the the layout of a building and find out where the people are with heat, sensors and stuff in about a 20-second period.
Yes, I'm trying to find the DNA lab with the 5-minute return.
Yeah.
That will make my career.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right, man, we've got some great calls. Officer Steve, do you have the time in your schedule today to stick around for one more round of calls? Would you mind?
Absolutely.
Fantastic.
Okay.
1-800-5-
Absolutely, you'd mind? Is that what you mean?
Absolutely, I'll stay.
1-800-520-1067 if you'd like to ask a cop.
So right now, we're in the middle of Ask a Cop. Sergeant Steve is here. Please don't play the theme song again. 15 years in law enforcement.
Are you kidding?
I can't take it. I can't. Please don't do it to us again.
Can I play just a little sting part? Just a little quick hit?
Come on.
Yeah, I'll hear that. That's
Ask a Cop.
There you go.
All right. 1-800-520-1067 if you want to get in and ask Sergeant Steve.
It's a very quick question.
Certainly.
Someone wrote in to say that her brother tells her that you can get in and out of the carpool lane whenever you want as long as it's safe. Is that true or not?
I thought they had that double line there that you're not allowed to cross, I thought.
You're exactly right. No, you cannot get in and out of the carpool lane whenever you want. Actually, the issue is not the carpool lane itself. The issue is those four yellow lines.
Yeah.
You can't even cross two, so I guess when they put four, they really mean
right? And it's really expensive if you get caught.
It's very expensive.
I got really lucky one time. I had my kids in my car, and we were going to a soccer game, the Galaxy soccer game, and I crossed into a carpool lane. And there was a motorcycle, highway patrol, right behind me that I didn't see. And he pulled up next to me, and he got eye contact with me, and he shouted, "Nice move!"
Wow, lucky.
So, right, I took for granted he was on his way to something else, and I got totally lucky, and my kids were like, "Why did that guy just yell at you?" And I
said, "Daddy's bad.
I broke the law, maybe."
Officer Steve, if there's one ticket that people want to see others get, it's driving in the carpool lane as a solo driver.
Yes.
How often is that ticket actually written? Because it seems like you can get in the carpool lane and see 50 people driving by themselves, and it seems like they never get theirs.
Right. Hard question for me to answer, because it's mainly the jurisdiction of the Highway Patrol. I can tell you I agree with those people 100%. It drives me nuts, too.
Can I suggest, both of you who are very short-sighted, that if I get in the carpool lane, I'm risking my own ticket, A, and B, I'm getting out of the pack of cars, so I'm actually moving traffic forward faster.
No,
I'm putting less people between you and where you want to go.
Let's talk to Patty on line one.
Unless I'm in the carpool lane.
She has maybe the best call of the whole day. Patty, thank you so much for holding on. You're on with Officer Steve. Ask a Cop.
Kevin and Bean, Lisa May.
Hi. Hello.
Hello. Hey, can I get arrested for having sex in the car?
Wow. The car is...
question, are you driving?
Yeah, are you driving?
That's correct.
I'm driving right now, but...
No, are you driving when you're having sex in the car?
That would be a trick, right?
Yes.
I heard that if you get caught having sex in your car, you have to register as a sex offender.
What? Interesting. You cannot have sex in your car. It's actually not the car that's the problem. It's being in public that's the problem. And, of course, we never want folks to do that. As far as being a sex offender, there are some statutes. Just lewd conduct is not one of them, where you could be forced to register. But really, you don't want to be having sex in your car because you just don't.
But she does.
and hotel rooms are so expensive, Sergeant Steve. Come on. You can see it from our point of view, right?
Just go get caught. That's my answer.
Just don't get caught. Just find a nice, secluded place to park. That's our advice. Screw the cop.
I have
don't screw the cop.
I have what I think is an interesting question from Chris, because I've heard many different answers to this question as well. Chris, go ahead.
Yeah.
Hey, what's up, Kevin and Dean? What's up, Lisa May?
Hi, Chris.
Question, bro. Okay, I go out a lot on the weekends. We get pretty drunk. Sometimes I don't have a designated driver, so I pass out in my car. I was told I can get a DUI still.
Yeah, it's an interesting part of the law. You were told correctly. It's a very rare exception. I've hardly ever seen it done, but here's what can happen. If a cop can reasonably show that you have been driving a car under the influence, they can give you a ticket or arrest you or
whatever.
How
can they show that?
The most common one is you're at the scene of an accident. Let's say you're unconscious. The police officer gets there after the accident. They have not actually seen you driving the car.
No, but okay, I DJ at clubs, so... What if my car is parked outside the club and I'm just knocked out in front of it?
Yeah, like he doesn't drive anywhere. He just walks out of the club, gets in his car, and goes to sleep. I think that's Chris's question.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. That's certainly preferred to driving it. To arrest you for the DUI, they'd have to show that they can prove you were driving it. Nothing wrong with sleeping in a car drunk, and please do that and sober up before you drive.
But you have to keep your keys out of the ignition, right?
That was my question. We have a friend named Beer Mug, oddly enough, who does fall asleep in his car from time to time, and he puts his keys in the trunk. He has a way to get in, you know, from the inside, because he heard that if the keys are anywhere inside the car and you're drunk, you can get a ticket.
Right. That can go to the officer proving that you were driving. The keys alone, not necessarily true, but that would help an officer prove that you were driving. Lock them in the trunk, give them to a friend, sleep, and then wake up.
Yeah, I usually just throw them in the back seat.
Good
all
idea.
Right, Chris. All right. Thank you for the call. Hey, we're not going to be able to cover all the fascinating topics of law enforcement, but here's one I have to bring up, Officer Z. Your impression or experience with high-speed chases.
The best thing ever?
Extremely dangerous and terrifying for the cops. You've seen over the last 10 or 15 years fewer and fewer.
Yeah.
That's because we know that once that chase starts, both members of the public and law enforcement officers are in grave danger. They are deadly, deadly encounters. Now, it's an adrenaline rush and exciting. I've only been in, 3 and 15 years. Gives you an idea how rare they are.
Really?
Okay. Yeah. How often does somebody get away in a high-speed chase? Because every single one of those people that decides to step on the gas instead of pulling over has some in the back of their mind. They think, I might be the lucky one. I may be able to escape this.
Right. In a big urban area like Los Angeles, almost unheard of, and that's for one reason and one reason only, helicopters.
Yeah.
You might be able to outrun me, but once there's a helicopter overhead, where on earth do you think you're going?
All right, we're running late on time. If I could just summarize some of these phone calls and have you just give like a one-sentence answer the best you can. Is it legal for cops to turn on the siren to run a red light? And I'm guessing that person means you're not on your way to anything. Because I would do that if I...
Right. you need to be on your way to something, and something emergent in nature.
Okay. But does anyone police that?
Sure. We have internal affairs folks and bosses who will police that.
Do you still have to wait for the pedestrian to finish the crosswalk? That is an important question because there are a lot of slow walkers.
That's right. That's the other one that comes up at every party. And yes, if they are in the crosswalk, technically, under the letter of the law, that is the violation.
All right. So how likely am I to get a ticket if I just wait until he's crossed past my lane and now I'm not in any danger of hitting him if I turn?
I've never seen one in 15 years.
Okay.
All right. Good.
Do you work with psychics? Paul wants to know. Maybe that's something that people are getting from TV, but does that ever happen in LAPD where you bring in one of those people to help you with the case?
I have never done that. I can't think of a case at LAPD, but absolutely. Police departments across the country, especially when things get desperate on, say, a missing persons case, I've read actual true news articles about them using psychics, yes. I don't know the success rate.
Hmm. Yeah. Sergeant Steve, do you want me to give out this website address of your company? Is that something that's for air or not for air?
Sure, that can be for air. I do a little consulting for attorneys in the media and stuff like that, and hey, I'll take a free plug.
All right, police. Oh! Yeah! I'm going to come with Sergeant Steve. like that. Come on.
That's just a joke, Sergeant Steve. Yeah, I wouldn't do that, really, for real, because...
Why does Sergeant Steve have his gun out? What's going on here? PolicePracticesGroup.com is the website. Sergeant Steve, 15 years law enforcement member of the LAPD. So awesome of you to come in here today. And in fact, I'd like to speak for the room and say we'd like to have you back and do part two sometime soon, because we didn't have nearly enough time with you. But thank you very much. You're an outstanding spokesperson.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks.
Back. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-A-Q, and it is 7:57.
Idaho's a great state. That's all I'm saying. You've never even been to Idaho.
Have
you
been.
Can't smack talk.
I have been, so suck it.
I've been too.
When were you? When were you in Idaho? I've been to Idaho many times. It's a beautiful state. How dare you?
You know that it's an inverse proportion. If Idaho sucks, Bean loves it more than most.
Right.
That's the way it works.
I haven't been in Idaho enough times, apparently, to get a feel for
Idaho. First of all,
once
I can't believe
not enough.
Right. I can't believe I have to defend the obvious. But first of all, the world's largest potato chip is in Idaho. Okay, so there's that.
Oh. F.
Yeah, there's not enough FU in the world, as Mike said once. All right, listen, Sean White's in the other room. Let's not waste our time talking about Idaho.
Olympics are all over. Right. What have you done for me lately? Let's get current. Whatever with him.
Sean White joins us in minutes here on the Kevin DeBeach Show. First, Ralph's got the show biz beat for a Tuesday.
Oh, hello, Mr. Policeman. I love you. Oh, you guys are pathetic, man.
I'm always nervous when there's
the
police around.
The man keeping us down. You guys just kissing his ass. I see how it works. Let me shine your badge, officer. Yeah. Yeah, let me get you some donuts. Whatever, man.
I've got a lot of respect for somebody who chooses that as a for a living.
And
I
mean, me too.
I'm out there in the streets fighting the revolution. You guys are kissing ass.
Yeah! Woo!
Fighting the revolution.
Revolution will not be radioized.
You had access to the studio the whole hour, Ralph. You could have come in and taken
them on. I was busy in the streets fighting the revolution. Weren't you just listening to me?
I was
out in the streets.
Hey, but Matt. Clearly, you smell bacon, though, right? You could have come in.
Oh, man.
Time for the...
protesting.
Showbiz beat.
Protesting all the bad things that are in the world. All right, let's talk about showbiz news, shall we? Congratulations to my girl, Catherine McPhee.
Yeah.
Ooh. Just landed herself a little TV show, a little pilot. Hollywood Reporter says she is starring in an NBC comedy called The Pink House.
Oh, my God.
I like the sound of that.
The Pink House.
Yes.
Yes.
It's about...
Reality show?
It's about a psychopath who lives on an island in the Pacific Northwest who lives in a pink house with a clown on top of it.
I thought we were going the whole lesbian in a house with a webcam route, no?
No, apparently she is a Midwestern girl who moves to L.A. and thinks she can't compete with the Beach Bunny standard here in Los Angeles.
Okay, explain the pink.
Yeah. It's so funny, by the way, because Catherine McPhee is an L.A. native who absolutely compares to the Beach Bunny standard in California.
It's like a supermodel.
Yeah, it's smoking hot.
I'm glad she's doing more acting, though, as a backup to her music career, which is not doing very well.
Yeah, I think she's multi-talented, but she's an excellent actress, too. So good to see her starring in the sitcom. She moves in next to two guys who apparently wacky neighbors and blah, blah, blah. So there you go.
Just a little pink.
Just move
on. Speaking of television, Dancing with the Stars, the Monster Smash reality show, has just announced the latest dancers for their 10th season.
No.
They announced it last night during the season finale of The Bachelor, which, by the way, got huge ratings.
Did it?
Women love them some Bachelor.
Yeah.
So you need to know. I know my wife was there glued to the television set. Pamela Anderson is on the list. Cincinnati Bengals wide receiver Chad Ochocinco will be dancing as well. All My Children star Aiden Turner. ESPN hottie Erin Andrews.
All right.
Penn Holt.
Yes, Dean.
That's not really.
Former Beverly Hills 90210 star Shannon Doherty will be dancing alongside former astronaut Buzz Aldrin.
That's what I'm talking about.
You're such a freak.
I love Buzz. You know that.
Buzz Aldrin, those of you don't know, walked on the moon in 1901.
I don't even know if he walked. I don't know if they let him. I think he might have
he had
to stay back
second
in the
man
capsule.
On the moon.
They wouldn't even let him out.
That was Michael Collins.
He was the bitch who had to go like a beer run while Neil Armstrong was really doing all the hero stuff. Buzz like had to change the oil in the lens.
Buzz was 5 feet behind Neil.
He
was right there.
Douchebag. Why was he behind him then if he was so great?
Because Neil Armstrong was the commander of the mission. That's why.
Yes, Buzz, you can tell people you walked on the moon.
Because he
just
was Neil's bitch. That's why. They should call him Buzz Neil Bitch. That should be his name. Niecy Nash from Reno 911 and The Insider How did she get another TV show?
I don't know. Is she hot?
No.
Okay, I don't know. All right, then.
Nicole Scherzinger.
She's
from the Pussycat Dolls.
Yes.
Olympic gold medalist Evan Lisicek. He or she is a very active sports enthusiast who plays...
I think it's Lisicek, and I think he won the gold in figure skating.
There you go. Kate Gosselin of John and Kate Plus Hate, that reality show, will be dancing up a storm next to The Bachelor, Jake Pavelka. Pavelka.
Don't know.
Nope. He's The Bachelor. He was on The Bachelor last night.
I don't watch it.
Not arguing with you.
I'm just saying he's The Bachelor.
All right, he was The Bachelor. Don't care.
Meanwhile, I'm out of time. I'll just give you some birthdays and make a run for it. Bryce Dallas Howard, 29 years old today. You know how Bryce Dallas Howard got her name?
Yeah.
All of Ron Howard and his wife's kids are named after the cities they were conceived in.
Okay.
Bryce Canyon?
Dallas!
I was thinking of the Bryce.
Where's the Bryce come from, then?
Dallas is where she was conceived.
Okay.
All right. I was thinking of the Bryce.
Bryce Canyon. Chris Martin of Coldplay is 33 years old today.
You know how I know you're gay?
Yeah.
You like Coldplay.
Oh, come on! John Bon Jovi of Bon Jovi is 48 years old, and Daniel Craig is 42 years old today. You know how Daniel Craig got his name?
I'm not guessing.
No. How?
His parents like the name Daniel.
Oh,
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
So let's get into the head of Shaun White. Shaun has one trick that no one else on the planet is doing. It's the double McTwist 1260. Shaun's moves right now are so much higher than the other riders. This is unbelievable. Here it comes. Is he going to throw it down his first run?
You know, I wanted something to be memorable. I wanted to do this trick that I'd been trying for so long.
All eyes to this hit. Oh! And there it is!
Oh! I didn't come all the way out here to hold back anything.
And that is what the fans wanted to see. Shaun White double gold. Boy, does he deliver.
It was amazing. I can't even describe it.
Look at the chicks that Shaun White is pulling as he shows up at the Kevin Beach show today. That's an unbelievable harem you're traveling with, Shaun. What's the deal? Dude.
You know.
You know.
That's a good wild answer. Times.
Just don't ask you for their names, right? That's what we're dealing with here? Well, Shaun, welcome back to the Kevin Beach show. First of all, on behalf of a grateful nation, congratulations.
Yay,
on
Vancouver. Thank you.
Congratulations. I don't know. Look, I don't know you, but the impression that I got, Shaun, is that there was never any doubt in your mind that you were going to come back with gold. That was pretty much a foregone conclusion that you were going to win that thing, right?
Is that extra pressure, though? Because anything else kind of would have been looked at as you kind of faltering.
Oh, for sure.
That seems rough.
You're standing up there, and I'm like, all right, this day I'd been thinking about and dreaming about and picturing in my mind was, you know, 10 minutes away. I mean, I'm actually having to drop in at this point and deliver, and I remember getting a little nervous, but it's not nervousness. It's like, it's that mixed with like excitement and anxiousness. I mean, you just want to get it over with. The only comfort I had is knowing that it was all going to be over within an hour. And
either way.
I had nothing I could do about it.
Right.
But it was great, man. I knew everybody wanted me to win, even like the Canadian team. You know, you're running around Canada and they're pretty, you know, patriotic. And, and they're like, I'm Canadian, but I still want you to win. You know what I mean? So I don't know. I just used it as a way to motivate myself to actually do it.
And how many weeks before that was the Winter X Games when you tried to eat the half pipe?
Yeah, the
that
blue dye looked
brutal.
So tasty, and I was like, yeah, no, I think that was about 2 weeks.
2 weeks later.
Yeah, or just under that.
Now, to go back to that moment, you hit your face on the edge of the half pipe. Now, for me, I'm out.
You take the rest of the day off, at least, right?
Olympics are coming up in 2 weeks. Peace out, everyone. Have a good time.
Yeah.
You went right back.
I don't know. It's one of those things you can't let it build in your head, because I took the smash, and I think it was something that I made the mistake, and I knew exactly what I did wrong, and I was just frustrated and mad at myself for being that relaxed during that trick. I didn't give it the proper attention, the commitment that I needed. And so I ran back to the top because I didn't want to develop some...
Right.
You know, weird
block in
a block in my head or fear of that trick. So instantly ran to the top, did it again, waited, and I'm sitting there for like a little over an hour watching this thing just replay and replay.
They kept
and
showing
replay.
It to you,
yeah.
right? Because I saw them showing it.
And then
it to
they
you.
Replayed my reaction to the replay.
Yep, I saw that.
And I'm sitting there like, gosh, can you guys just give me a sec? I got to do this trick in about 5 minutes. But yeah, it was one of those things where I just felt like if I would have given up at that point, I might as well just give up on the rest of the season.
Did your helmet say hell no when you went back up?
I was just
so surprised.
Because your
helmet did not want any part of your head.
It was in a hurry to get the hell out of there.
It was like, exploded off your head.
That was my first thought as I was like, what? I swear I had a helmet on. You know what I mean? I was like, wow, I'm like exposed to the elements. I just remember sitting there like, it's cold out. What's going on? And yeah, I remember, you know, right there, and I felt my jaw felt like it was pushed all the way out to the right side of my face. And I ran to the top. And
you're going to talk
delivered.
Like this for the rest of your life?
Yeah.
Is that your first year?
And then that night I had to eat steak, and I'm like sitting there and just agony.
Can somebody put this in a blender, please?
Chewing away.
Yeah.
Wow.
But look, for all the hype and all the hoopla around the X Games, the Olympics has to be 100 times that, though, just in terms of the coverage and the media and the people and the other countries represented. I mean, how do you stay focused in an Olympic situation? I mean, I know you looked forward to it, but there's so many distractions up there for 2 weeks.
You know, I was talking to a friend of mine, and he put it in words that I thought were pretty interesting in a way, and he was saying that it, you know, when you deal with the pressure and you deal with everybody watching and the cameras everywhere and everything and you know, all of that pressure, his saying was, you know, it's not about surviving the storm. It's learning to dance in the rain. It's like learning to use that fear and all the people watching and use it to benefit yourself. And
but, you know what? That destroys a lot of people. A lot of people get distracted. They can't. The pressure becomes too much. There are a lot of people, you know, in the NBA, they take a last second shot, and you can kind of see, yeah, they're taking it and they have to, but they sure don't want to be there. And then there are the other players like Kobe Bryant or other people who want the ball, and they're good with missing, but they don't much.
Well, that's why my coach was at the top, and I'd already won the medal, and he's sitting there, and he knows me, and he knows the fact that I sometimes don't land runs when I don't have to land it.
Right.
And, you know, where's the motivation coming from? Where's the excitement and all that to push me through the run? And
now we're back to the Olympics, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so after the first run, for those of you who don't know, Sean already had won the gold medal. Didn't even have to go again.
Yeah, I got what's called a victory lap.
But have you done the double McTwist 1260, which is all anybody wanted to see from him, basically, honestly. So then you did it.
I knew I had to do it just because I'd talked about it so much, and I'd worked and worked and worked on this trick. I just felt like I would be not only, you know, depriving them, but myself of this amazing trick. And so I went for it, even though I kind of landed flat on my hip before that. My arm's still purple. I smashed my elbow on my knee when I landed it because I was just full willing it to land. I mean, I didn't have enough speed.
It didn't look like
I took off a little funny. I'm like, I'm going to make this.
I've never seen somebody's mind actually just force it to happen.
Yeah, it was force of will, absolutely.
Even though gravity and everything else, it seemed like it was working against you at that particular moment.
Yeah, I just remember riding away just like, you know.
Of course.
Everything, all that excitement and all the feelings you have that's just like locked away in your chest just explodes. And yeah, I was excited, man. I was running all over the place hugging people. And
that had to be the happiest moment of your professional career, certainly.
It was definitely one of them. I mean, and it's so crazy because everybody wants to try to describe the last time I won the medal to this time, and it's so different. I mean,
right.
I remember feeling like I just made it. I'm like crying. My whole family's there, and this time was more of a, you know, like a cementing feeling. Like I just like delivered on something that I had promised, and I, you know, felt like any question of where I came from, and maybe if I shouldn't have or like. You know, I'm here to stay. Kind of
right.
Thing.
Yeah,
like,
it's yeah, been exactly. The last you're for real. It wasn't a fluke.
And I wanted to deliver, and that's, it just felt great.
We need to take a break, unfortunately. Sean White is in the studio with us.
We have so many questions for Sean.
Gold medal. I would like to talk about what the announcers were saying so much, and I'm sure you didn't hear it because, you know, you were there. But the difference between your run 4 years ago and your run this time was just astronomical. A huge, crazy difference. What you did to win the gold wouldn't have even medaled you this time.
Yeah.
That's odd to me. I mean, that kind of progression.
You wouldn't even made finals at that rate.
Wouldn't even made finals. All right. So we'll take a quick break. Sean White is here. We'll be right back on the Kevin.
The longer Sean White sits here and tells us stories of what his life is like, the worse I feel about mine, I'll tell you. Turn that song. Oh, yeah, I'm in Italy, and I'm in a helicopter, and I'm on a boat, and I'm on a horse. It just doesn't matter, whatever this guy's.
The equestrian dream.
Now, Sean, when we left, we were talking about last Olympics to this Olympics and what a great difference it was. The one that you won gold with 4 years ago, you wouldn't have even gotten in the finals this year.
Yeah, I mean, the progression's just been overwhelming. I mean, not even from that point till like the year after, it was basically last season I won the X Games with a similar run to the Olympics. The only thing that was different is I added a rodeo on my first hit, which is a backflip.
Oh, so last year to this year has been all of that change?
Yeah, that's why it's so wild and everybody's kind of freaking out, is that we added these new tricks, and I was able to go to Silverton, Colorado and basically have like a half pipe out there where I created like five new tricks.
The foam pit.
Yeah, and which is cool is I mean, I've always been a guy that took tricks that were already out there and just did them a little different, a little better, and this time I actually invented tricks. So I went from doing they're called double corks. It's two flips in one hit while spinning 1080, which is basically just degrees of rotation.
You don't have to explain this to us.
Yeah, yeah, you know.
It's like second nature to us.
It's matrix. So, I mean, I'm doing three of these tricks in one run now, so it's pretty
okay, so
aggressive.
You have the double McTwist 1260. The next Winter X Games happen soon. The next Winter Olympics are 4 years from now.
Yes.
So the double McTwist 1260...
Little kids will be doing that by the time the next Olympics comes
around. 6-year-olds. You're going to have to somehow find a way.
Because you only have so much time in the air. There is a limit to how much you can do coming down.
I'm just fearing that there's some fierce little, like, 15-year-old that's like, I can do that.
Right. And then can. And
I'm like,
oh, come on.
I'm like, No, you can't.
you're clearly washed up at 23, right, Sean?
I mean, I saw a guy at the airport, and he's like, it's all downhill, man. I'm like, really?
You know what's interesting? I'm so glad we have you here, Sean. Of course, we're always grateful for your time when you stop by the Kevin Bean Show. But the conversation we were just having with you about the difference in how fast your sport is evolving. We had Sal Masekela, your friend Sal Masekela, on the day after your run. And he was practically still in tears from watching you the night before. And he told us something that I thought was so interesting. And you may be too young to have experienced this personally, but he said it wasn't that long ago where there were a lot of ski resorts in this country where you weren't allowed to snowboard, where it was still the outlaw sport, where they don't want that element in their town. And now look at it. Now you're one of the biggest athletes in the world, on the biggest stage in the world, and you're performing at such an unbelievable athletic attitude. It's just, it's amazing how fast everything has changed in your sport. So exciting.
Yeah, well, that's why it's so... I mean, emotional to win the Olympics, because everything my family went through and all my friends and everybody that supported me. I mean, you see the long journey we're on. I mean, my parents got me into the sport, and I mean, there was no X Games, there was no Olympics, there was barely any money, and you know, it's grown to this. So it's just an amazing thing to come from there and to be at this point now where I'm like, you know, I can't cruise down the street.
So. Right. Now, speaking of the younger crowd, the thing that happened with Scotty Lego and the pictures, and then everybody said he got kicked out, that really angered me.
Yeah.
I really was upset about that. I was like, look, if you want youth and you want people to come out and watch the Olympics that didn't used to, you know, snowboarders are cool if they want to hang out. If his event is done and he wants to party, great. More power to him. Well, what was that all about? Do you know much about it from your side?
A little bit. I mean,
it's craziness.
Think about this one. I mean, I'm so excited getting my medal and all this stuff. I was on the podium. I did like a little air guitar because I can actually play the anthem on guitar.
Right.
And I remember sitting there, and then I got some like heat for it. Like, he wasn't respecting the podium and
I didn't even
see
that part.
Flag raising and this and that. And you're like, wow, like people just kind of, I think, put a microscope on stuff you do. And my dad said the funniest thing. He's like, all the cool people in the world are just, they're dead. You know what I mean? He's like, people analyze things so much now. I mean, in a way, I understand what happened with Scotty. You know what I mean? He was just enjoying himself. And I just felt bad because there was nobody there kind of watching for him. You know what
I'm
saying?
It's a shame that somebody has to be there watching for him, is what I'm saying.
Totally.
If I win a gold medal and my Olympic time is done, that's the least of what I'm doing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like,
really, that was nothing compared to what you would think. They would want people just to let off
steam. Well, it's funny because I was in Europe and they're like asking me about it. What do you think of this Scotty Lego? And I'm like, well, you know, pictures can be deceiving. Maybe it was really windy in there. And, she dropped a loony on the ground and picked it up. And, you know,
John, what about that image? And especially a guy like you who's so recognizable. Let's face it, you can't hide that hair. Is it tough for you 24/7 to know that no matter what you do, people are gonna report on it? In some case, misinterpret it.
I mean, man, that lunch yesterday. Apparently, like I lifted up my shirt to like scratch my chest or something like this, and like somebody snapped a photo of it, and it's on the internet now.
So, oh my god!
Apparently, it's getting to that point.
Wait,
for me.
Was it good or bad? Did they say?
And that's what I
would have expected,
like,
a six pack.
I was like, "How was the abage? Like, was I? Was it glistening? I mean, because now I'm gonna have to keels it up every morning before I.
That's right.
Just in case, you know. But it's cool, man. I love it. I think it's amazing. Like, what a powerful place to be, in not only the world but in my sport, and to be. Gosh, recognized on such a massive level. It's just humbling.
We need to take another break, unfortunately.
No, we're talking to Shaun White. We're talking to Shaun White right now.
I know, but when we get back, I want to talk about what's happened since the Olympics. There's a report every day where I look at you and I go, nope, he is not ringing the bell for the stock exchange. He's not at a Milan fashion show. That's crazy. You've had just a ridiculous
I've been on the
schedule,
tail, man.
He's been cloned is what he's been. There's 10 of them running around doing all sorts of crazy stuff. All right. One more segment with our friend Shaun White, Olympic gold medalist, USA, USA. We'll return right after this on The Kevin and Bean Show. Two of America's finest athletes on today's Kevin and Bean Show. Shaun White, Olympic gold medals in studio now. Kevin Smith joins us in about 20 minutes. Very much looking forward to that. All right, we just have a few more minutes with Shaun. We have so many questions we want to ask. First of all, what kind of car are you driving these days, Shaun?
You know what? I have a little pad up here in L.A., and I felt like I'd be one of those guys if I brought up the Lamborghini. So I was going to go get a old classic Mercedes or something.
Mm-hmm.
Old school, sweet. Something vintage. All right.
How many cars you got?
Just two.
Wow.
But one's a Lamborghini.
Yeah.
Well, I
started winning them, you know, and they just started showing up, so I started donating them.
Really?
Yeah, there's a thing called Fresh Start that is down in
that's cool.
You know, San Diego area, and you know they pick up kids from the hospital and take them to their homes and stuff. And
that's cool. In a Lamborghini.
Yes. Surprisingly, they fit the kids in the.
No. Let me see if I can clarify. Lamborghinis just started showing up.
Yeah. Well, you know how it is, Kevin.
No.
Come on.
No.
That doesn't happen for me.
Shaun started to tell us a story off the air that I just think is. I mean, look, you're living Shaun White's life, and you can't believe the stuff that happens to you. So you win the gold medal in Vancouver. You stay up all night because who can sleep after that? You go right to the Today Show. That's when your days started getting crazy. What happened after that, Shaun?
Oh, man. I mean, I woke up and I woke up to the news that I got the cover of Rolling Stone again.
Which was awesome.
And then as I'm cruising out, they're like, oh, and this just in, here's a speech from Obama that just mentioned you and your half pipe in Colorado. And then, I mean, it just kept going and going. I got the gold medal, and then I get this phone call that apparently I was requested to come to Chicago and be on the Oprah show. And
by the way, that's not a request.
Send a plane over.
When Oprah says she wants you.
That's
you
what
go.
I didn't know.
It's an order.
I was
now,
like,
it's an order.
You know, my whole group over here that you mentioned earlier, they're like, oh, no, you're going. I was like, but I had, like, some buddies that were going to come to dinner tonight. And it's Oprah.
She's not looking for an answer. She's sending a plane.
But she was awesome. She was awesome.
And then where did you go from there? Because
I went to New York and did a bunch of wild stuff out there. I shot the cover and closed down the stock exchange.
I saw you at the stock exchange with a hammer in your hand.
Plenty
I thought,
of things. Larry King Live. I mean, it just went on and on.
Did Larry King have any idea who you were?
Oh, yeah. He was great.
Really?
Yeah.
We make fun of Larry all the time because he seems to not know anyone anymore. He's so...
He thought he was booking Betty White, right?
He calls you from
We go way back.
Yeah, he thought he was Betty White, right? That's what he thought.
So then how do you end up in Europe? How do you go from there to there? Now all of a sudden you're in Germany and Italy.
Well,
What's
so much riding over there. We figured it'd be cool to go over and actually see the fans that are over there and do some media that's kind of off the grid. And we went over to first stop was in London, and we did a bunch of stuff there from London to Milan, and we're in Milan during Fashion Week.
That's the picture I saw.
So it got a little weird. I'm like front row at this fashion show, and it's like the future.
Yeah.
And at that point, I was like, what is happening? It was straight out of a movie, and the runway started. It was this crazy techno and like these like 8-foot
women. You're in Zoolander all of a sudden.
Cruising around in like chainmail and stuff.
But see, all the stuff that Shaun is talking about is not the high points of his life. Okay, this is all stuff that's happened in the last week.
Oh,
everything
yeah,
that
right.
he's just described. It's like, been seven days in the life of Shaun White.
It's like, I just won the medal like 10 days ago. Like, this is the strangest thing I've ever seen. And then from there, we went in... Red Bull picked us up in this plane to go to Salzburg, Austria. And our pilot's this wild Red Bull pilot. And we didn't really know that.
No.
So he's like, skimming the mountain like, this is the hideout of the German army. And this is the, you know, we're landing the plane. And then from there to Germany and then back to here for 2 days.
You don't want your
Japan.
Pilot on Red Bull, by the way.
God.
You don't want your pilot on too much Red Bull.
I don't think he's on Red Bull, but those guys are the best pilots in the world. They
but I'm so excited. It's all over with. I mean, I really am at a point now where I get to you know, go to the summer. I can't wait to skateboard. It's like,
are you going to do that again?
Yeah. Well, I mean,
X Games.
Everything's going towards summer. Like, I'm thinking about where I want to skate, what contests I want to do. This is really cool. I just wanted to mention because I'm so excited about it. But we've been working on a skateboard video game for like 3 years, and I'm allowed to talk about it, like literally. And it's going to be unreal. It's one of those things where
it's the next one because you were here a year ago or something.
Yeah. With the game, the first game,
with the snowboarding game. Yes.
Yeah, the snowboarding game, and this one is just unbelievable. I'm just so proud of it because it's so unlike Tony's game, the first one that came out, and in its own special way. It's just amazing. So I'm pumped.
When can we get that?
Hopefully, apparently August.
He's looking the other room.
I think.
Okay, that's good news. All right, let me ask you one September. Serious question, Sean. he has no idea.
July.
We'll let you know. Let me ask you one serious question, because you're better than we are, and we get all that. if I've done everything that you've done, I'm done for life. I don't have any desire to go out and do anything else. How do you stay motivated to continue to want to compete at your level rather than just sit back and let the money and chicks roll in?
Hey, how come both can't happen?
He's got a point.
I mean, what's going to drive
it,
you?
I was like, that makes so much sense.
No, don't talk him out of competing.
I like that.
No, what drives you to continue at the pace and the level that you're at?
I don't know. I mean, excuse me. I don't know. I always just get to a certain point where I feel bored. I feel like I need to do this. I feel like I need to go out there and do stuff. And what's crazy is everybody wants to understand how I do it and how I get motivated to do it. But it's something that's not fun. It's not fun. It's fulfilling. It's like you go out there and you slam after slam. I mean, elbows bruised. I can feel it. It's like sore. I mean,
you're not just goofing around and everything's great about it.
It's like a math problem. You sit there throwing solutions at it, and then you finally get the answer. And it's you know, you receive a good feeling, a warm feeling from that. And it's just something that I do that makes me feel good. So that's what's the difference between, you know, my snowboarding and then just snowboarding for fun. I mean, fun, I just go cruise around the mountain.
Right.
I spray my dad with snow. Right. So, you know, it's just fun. It's funny.
How long has it been since you've competed in skateboarding?
Just one season.
It's only one. Okay.
And I was pretty upset about that. I chipped a bone in my ankle and wasn't able to compete. And I was pretty gung-ho about winning the Olympics. So I decided to not risk it and roll an ankle on a skateboard. So I'm really, like, dying to get back on the board.
What's your next month going to be like? Have you already had it all planned out, or now it slows down and you have a little time to yourself?
Well, right when I think it slows down, it gets, you know, picked up again. But so far, I do some more talk shows. I mean, I'm going on Leno tonight and the Lopez show.
Well, you're funnier than both of those guys, so that's
going to be awesome.
Pete, don't say that. He can't comment on that.
I'm not asking him to. I'm just saying, Sean White and Jay Leno on the same TV. Sean White's the funny one. That's all I'm saying. All right,
Leno's reading, listening. He's, oh, God. No, but I'm excited about it. And then I go from here to Japan because we got this massive.
Well, of course you do. Of course you got to go to Japan.
How long do you have in the books? I mean, like, do you have a month? Do you have 2 months? Do you have the rest of the year?
Well, usually the Burton U.S. Open, which I'm pretty sure is around March, something like that.
He's looking
over there because they know the schedule.
They don't seem to be giving you any answers.
They're no help. They're just miming through the window. But that usually marks the end of my snow season. So at that point, once I start skateboarding, that's like my downtime. Like I skateboard to really get away from everything. It's kind of my release from things. And so I'll skateboard all summer and hang out and do trips. And that'll really be my downtime. And, you know, it's good. I go surfing. I go hang out. And that's really, you know, because snowboarding, you have to travel to the mountains. You have to find the snow. And the skate's just on the street.
Or anywhere you want.
Right where the ramp's at. Yeah.
Well, when your skateboarding game comes out, come back in.
Yeah.
If you would, whether it's August or September or November, whenever it is. Whenever we figure out the game coming out, we would love to have you back in.
Here we go. Holiday is saying.
Holiday, meaning Christmas.
Yes.
Okay,
yes,
all right.
Yes.
Well, Sean, it's awesome to have you come back, dude. We really, first of all, congratulations again, as we said when you sat down. We're so proud of you. So proud of you. And we always enjoy having you on the Kevin and Bean Show. Thanks so much for the time, dude. Have a great spring and summer.
Yeah, thanks for having me, man.
Kevin Smith joins us in minutes here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, Ralph Garman is here with the Showbiz Beat for a Tuesday. What's going on?
Interesting TV news. You know, David Milch. You familiar with David Milch? Legendary television producer and creator David Milch. He was one of the creators of NYPD Blue. Along with Stephen Bojko. Then he left NYPD Blue, cleaned his act up, and started producing his own shows, the first of which was Deadwood over there on HBO.
Nice.
Did a nice work with that. Then he brought us the beloved and endlessly confusing John from Cincinnati.
Sure, yeah. Love that.
Which we watched voraciously without understanding any of it.
Didn't know what it meant.
Now he's got a third show he's producing for HBO called Luck.
Luck.
It is centers on the eccentric personalities who ply their trade in the horse racing circuit. Are you familiar with the guys who hang around the track at all?
No.
It's an endlessly fascinating group of characters, of people who inhabit that world.
That's a world I have zero information on.
It is fascinating, and I think you're going to enjoy it. And the guy who stars in the film is a little-known actor in his 60s. I guess he's getting his big break on this HBO series, named Dustin Hoffman.
Really?
Will be starring in the TV series.
As a jockey?
He was Screech,
because he's
right?
Pretty small.
He was Screech, I'll say it by the way.
It was Dustin Diamond.
Oh.
It's very different.
Yeah, Dustin Hoffman going to do a TV series. How about that?
Wow.
Just goes to show you.
How
the golden
that?
Age of television, people.
Yeah,
all the
you
movie
go where
stars,
the work is, right?
Movie stars are going to TV. Apparently, Dennis Farina is also in the show, which is good
actor.
News. Good actor. So it should be very entertaining.
I know Dustin Hoffman's been a major movie star for 40 years now, but I saw Marathon Man recently, Ralph, which I had not seen in a number of years, which is a good movie, and he is ripped in that movie. That's the one where he runs, you know?
Oh, Marathon Man.
Crazy to see the kind of shape that Dustin Hoffman's in. You never think about him being a young, like, totally ripped dude.
Let me see if I can clarify. Marathon Man is the one where he runs?
That's right.
Okay. And here's why he was in great shape, Bean, because he ran all the time for Marathon Man.
You don't think of Dustin Hoffman ever having that physique. That's what I'm saying. It was a surprise to me to see him as a young dude and in that kind of shape. That's all I'm saying. That's my point.
Well, an excellent point it is, too. And then Laurence Olivier plays a Nazi in Marathon Man. And you don't think of him being a Nazi. And yet in that movie, I remember him. He was a Nazi. It's funny. You don't think of Laurence Olivier being a German Nazi.
Another excellent point.
Yeah. What the hell was that all about?
Bean?
I'd give you an A for effort, but this isn't UC Santa Cruz.
We're getting more Sharktopus news coming out of sci-fi.
Yes!
Apparently, Eric Roberts, one of the stars of Sharktopus.
Eric.
He's been added to the cast. Eric Roberts.
Okay.
Is this information coming out of sci-fi, or are you breaking in? Which is happening?
I'm not breaking into sci-fi.
Right.
I've
just
tried. They've got an elaborate system of pulleys and levers protecting that building. But now, at least we know a little bit more about the plot. Roger Corman, the producer of the telemovie. In case you're not familiar with Sharktopus, I've been quite fascinated with this since its announcement. It's going to be a sci-fi movie of the week, a television movie on Sci-Fi Channel, about Sharktopus, which is half shark, half octopus, which is the coolest creature I can imagine on the planet.
Well, it seems bad if it has, how many arms? Eight?
Eight arms,
and
yeah.
Then those teeth.
Right.
That seems
mouth.
Bad.
And you can shovel food into that. It's bad enough. Sharks do enough damage without having any arms at all.
Right. You
with
can
that
have
mouth.
Eight surfers at the same time?
Exactly. And
wow.
Then just eat them at your leisure. So we know a little bit more about the plot now of Sharktopus, which I had no idea previous to this fact. But Roger Corman tells The Hollywood Reporter, the premise is the U.S. Navy commissions a group called Blue Water to genetically engineer a half-shark, half-octopus to help combat against Somali pirate ships.
Oh.
So it's an engineered water weapon, basically. But
ripped from today's headlines.
I think that's based in true facts.
Then things go horribly wrong.
Hmm.
Well, I mean, the character that you've created for Sharktopus still works in that world.
Dr.
I mean,
Achilles Hardigan?
No reason why he can't be in there to fight the pirates.
Why couldn't he be one of the Blue Water Group? Why couldn't he be one of their researchers?
And he's a former Navy SEAL, if I recall, and a marine biologist. A
marine paleontologist.
Sorry.
I'm impressed Bean knew that much.
Oh, God. Learn the facts.
Those aren't facts.
Learn the facts about my fantasy world, won't you? Speaking of movies, new DVDs in stores today. You can pick up 2012. With John Cusack, if you want to see the world being destroyed by some Mayans. I think Mayans destroy the world. Isn't that the premise?
Sure.
But the Mayans come back to life and start destroying
but
the world.
But we don't have to get that, do we?
Yes, you do. It's on stands today.
All right.
Stands? Where the Wild Things Are.
Yeah.
Mark Ruffalo, Catherine Keener, Lauren Ambrose.
What a good movie.
I saw it in the theaters and I loved it.
It was a pretty good movie.
James Gandolfini stars as one of the lead voices of one of the creatures and it's just a wildly entertaining film.
I've got a Wild Thing suit. That guy probably won't surprise you, but I got one of those suits.
Shut up.
Why?
No, you don't.
Have you worn it?
You don't have it.
Yeah, I've worn it. It's awesome.
You don't have
you don't have the wolf costume that the little kid wears in Where the Wild Things Are.
I do. I
take
I have
a picture and send it to us by the end of the show, or we will kill you.
Well, I can't put my hands on it in the next 45 minutes, if that, but I can maybe.
Was
maybe
it a vault downstairs in a bank? I mean, downtown in a bank?
Don't have immediate access to it, but I have a suit, and they're pretty awesome suits. That's all. That's my point.
Who's making a Where the Wild Things costume that's for 6 foot six people?
some guy. I don't know. No, I don't have
some guy.
Welcome to Bean's imaginary world.
Been shaky, by the way.
End of the day. You can send a picture, right?
Oh no! I'm way too busy. No, there's the a llama needs to be milked.
End of the day today.
Look, you can't hold me hostage. I don't have any obligation to do it. Bringing up that I have one of those suits. That's all.
You have an obligation.
We're talking about the movie.
You have an obligation to the people who go to kevinandbean.com to send us a picture of that.
I'll see if I can. I don't know if I have time today. I'll take a look.
Yeah,
I'll see if
you're too busy.
We're talking about the wolf costume that Max wears in the story and the movie.
Yes,
you have one of those
the ears
wolf costumes.
And the tail and the whole deal. Right. I have one.
Why?
Because they're awesome.
You didn't get it for Halloween.
No, I didn't get it for Halloween. I think the movie came out after that, but I just because I think they're so neat. I wanted to have one because I think they're so awesome.
Are you a pedophile?
Who wouldn't want to have one of those? If you went to see the movie, you go, that's a cool suit.
No.
I have to have one.
I loved the movie. I don't need the suit. I don't even understand that.
I'm Chris Hansen. You're telling me that you bought this suit that you're wearing just because you thought it was awesome? And where's the crotch?
To do with little kids.
Do you hang around grade schools when you wear it?
Man. Let's move on. What else is coming out today?
Wow.
You don't drop a bomb and then say, oh, let's just move on.
And then maybe by the end of the day.
Very busy.
Okay. I can't put my hands on it. It may be in my vast collection of childish costumes.
Let me squeeze
to Mike real quick. He's got a question.
Mike, what's your question?
I want to know if Bean's a furry.
Bean is a furry. Yeah.
Well,
I'm
not a furry. That's what he is. Absolutely am not
a furry. Puts on the wolf costume and
he's by himself.
Yeah.
He's
a lonely furry.
A questionable character.
It's a legitimate question in this case, but no, I'm actually not a furry. There's no turn on. It's not sexual
or
anything like that.
And a plushie.
I just think the suit's cool. That's
are you a pedophile?
No, I'm not.
Wow, you are creepy beyond words. You are a creep of mythic proportions. Children, generations from now, will talk about your level of creepiness with awe and disgust. And just in time for Alice in Wonderland, the 3D Disney movie that's coming out, the miniseries Alice, speaking of Sci-Fi Channel, with Harry Dean Stanton, Tim Curry, and Kathy Bates. Very entertaining. You can check that out on DVD as well today. Today's celebrity birthday is Daniel Craig is 42 years old. Chris Martin.
Well, I think we all can agree on the fact that you.
All right. Thank you, Sean Connery. Chris Martin of Coldplay is 33 years old. Bryce Dallas Howard is 29. And John Bon Jovi, the favorite son of New Jersey, except for Kevin Smith and Bruce Springsteen.
Other than them,
he's 48 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Want some help and myself.
That song is completely over. Not even just a little bit.
That's not coming back.
It
either.
Was before we started playing it, by the way.
It's the world famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ at 9:27.
Let me tell you about a guy who is a man of his word, a guy that we had on the phone briefly on Friday, and we said, hey, Mr. Smith, I know you're busy, but if you get a chance next week, we'd love to have you back in studio. Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Smith is here.
Hi.
Director of the smash hit film Cop Out. Is it true, Kevin, your biggest box office weekend opening ever
yes.
in your long career?
Too fat for the box office. Too fat for number one, apparently. Number two was fine, though. Everyone's been saying, ever since I walked in this building, people have been going like, man, Scorsese, right? And I'm like, hey, I like
screwed you out of number one.
Totally. But I mean, good for him. They spent way more money than we did. They deserve to make more money.
Will you finally stop writing those scripts of yours now and just direct other people's work?
No, no, but now I got another knife in the arsenal, don't I?
That's true.
Or knife in the arsenal, don't I?
I have that as well.
I will take my knife out of my arsenal and pull it across your throat, Rob. Can I give you guys a little confessional? I was got out of the shower. And I put on the computer, the listen in, you know, so because I don't have a radio in the house anymore. I just have it in the car.
Okay.
So I was listening via computer, and you guys are playing a song, and it took me back to 95, and I got to walk carefully around this so people don't think I'm missing an ex-girlfriend.
Okay.
I'm not. But it was a time in my life. It was awesome. It was 95. We were cutting Mallrats, and I was living up at the Universal Hilton. Is that the one that's got mirrors mm-hmm. all over it?
Yeah.
And Kiss by a Rose was like all over the radio at that point, and you guys were playing it very, very frequently. And this morning, even though you didn't play Kiss from Rose, I was listening to some song on the radio that was kind of a throwback to not that era, but a couple of years
20
back.
Years before
it took
that?
Me right back to that when I was like 25, and the world was in front of me, and I could get on any airplane I wanted without any hassle whatsoever.
Yeah.
It was a good time.
Did you start crying this morning?
No.
All right.
But then I was listening to like Psycho Mike's got his own thing going on, doesn't he? He's hosting like what is it, the OC Music Awards or something?
Dude, I don't know. He does.
You guys don't pay attention to each other?
Listen,
I'll tell you what you all are up to. Ralph is a huge fan of Southland. Lisa's been paying way too much attention to traffic. What are you doing with the OC? Is that you with the OC Music Awards?
Yeah.
What are you doing? Are you hosting it?
I'm hosting it, yeah.
How did we miss
that?
You got
like this whole secret life, dude.
He really does.
Yeah, you're like really popular.
I have a super
occasionally
secret life.
Occasionally
yeah.
We'll hear a little bit
people
about
say
something,
no to nothing, by the way.
Do you want to host your... He opens the drawer or your underwear?
That's right.
He
opens the fridge.
Do you have a girlfriend?
No.
You must get laid like crazy.
No.
Come on, dude.
I'm a big
he's a good I don't know if many people ever saw a picture of Mike. He's a good-looking dude.
Good-looking
guy. And he's dressed sharply today, isn't he?
I appreciate the compliment, but I'm a horrible lover.
It doesn't matter. Yeah. Jason Mewes is a horrible lover, and he's had many. You just have to be cute in this world. Yeah. You got cute. The fat people, they have to be good lovers. We have That's to try right. harder. You don't have to try. You just play just the tip. You don't even have to finish with them. You finish yourself, move on. They're like, he's so cute.
Plus, you don't all need right. repeats. I mean, you know, just move
That's
on.
True.
You don't need a repeat.
True. No
you
way.
Somebody to agree to it twice.
All right, let's get off of talking about Psycho Mike for a minute, because that's a very sore subject for us. But Kevin Smith, what does this mean to you? What does this mean to your career now that you've had this big box office?
Oh, let me tell you.
Does this open new doors for you? Is this really good news?
It means absolutely nothing. It does.
Really?
It changes nothing.
No, it makes you a big gun for hire. Now, people would love to have
you
direct
that.
Their
there's,
stuff.
There's that, and as much as they're like, oh, clearly he can direct somebody else's script,
right.
regardless of what the critics seem to think. I mean, I took it hard from the critics this time. Whew. Like, they bent me over without anything.
You have to stop reading that, though,
yeah,
don't you?
Know, you?
Am I sorry. I was pointing it the wrong way.
You know, it's funny you bring that up, because I read something on the internet this week about you, and it was a review of the movie that they particularly took you to task.
Oh, all the bad reviews didn't review the movie. They just pretty much reviewed me for making it.
It was like, I didn't like Copland so much, and what makes anyone think that Kevin Smith could direct a movie outside of the view skew-averse?
There's a lot of that. There's a lot of there's people, again, saying that I was done, this is it. That somebody called for my retirement.
Oh my God.
Wait, is that how it works?
I guess. I mean, just because everybody is a film critic now. Anybody with a keyboard and a computer is a film critic.
That would hurt me.
No. Dude, I am 15 years in. I am, at this point, if Too Fat to Fly didn't kill me, if Jersey Girl didn't kill me, if those reviews of Cop Out didn't kill me, I'm like a roach.
You're
I'm here
going.
Forever. You know what I'm saying? So whenever, I mean, look, I'll be honest with you. From Mallrats forward, they've been, you know, there's always been a handful of critics who are like, this is it. They're going to kick him out of movie world this time. This one is so bad, he's done. And that was 15 years ago.
You know Roger Corman, legendary B movie producer, who's made a bunch of crap movies and drive-in movies and that kind
of
stuff. This Sunday, honorary
Sharktopus.
Oscar. Honorary Oscar.
He's getting it?
Corman's getting an honorary Oscar.
I was
so...
But
just stick around long
enough. Had my head so up my own anus. I had no idea the Oscars were really happening this weekend.
Yes.
They are.
Yes, Sunday.
That's weird.
You won't see them from there, but...
Yes, I will, because that's where all the AHs are, my friend. I guess it snuck up on me, man. All of a sudden, the Oscars are happening.
But Kevin, let me ask.
With you when you got your invite?
No. But I'm a member of the Academy, and every year they're like, would you like to buy a ticket? But the tickets are expensive. And I'm like, I don't think I'd want it. That'd be weird. That'd be like going to somebody's party completely uninvited. You know what I'm saying? Like, if I ever go there, I want them to be like, here, here's an honorary award. Because
how'd you get to be a member of the Academy?
Past 42.
I'm surprised by that. I'm surprised. How'd you get to be a member of the Academy?
Back in my quality days, sir. Chasing Amy got me in.
That's what it was. Huh?
Chasing Amy. After Chasing Amy, we got invited.
How does that work? They just
somebody. I guess enough people liked it that were members of the Academy,
and they have to invite you.
I was young, and they were like, "Oh, he's a fresh young voice before he became old, stale voice."
Because I was
so
wondering.
They were like, come on in, come on in, and I think two or three people have to sponsor you. I don't know who sponsored me or who talked me up, but I got a letter one day going, join, and I was like, that's what you want. That's the whole reason I got in the movie business, because you get the free DVD,
the free screeners,
the free screeners,
absolutely,
most important thing in this city. And the reason I ask about that is because the way you were talking about the critics' reaction, I get the feeling that you consider yourself standing outside and apart from the Hollywood establishment.
No. Do you? That's the thing. It's like the older you get in this world, you realize there are no countries. There are corporations. There's no indie or studio. It's all the same now. There was a moment where they broke away and suddenly there was something different, but it got co-opted and it's all part of the machine.
And the big studios still try to call it independent.
Absolutely.
Or whatever.
But all of them are shuttering their specialty divisions because they're like, oh, never mind putting a special label on it. We'll just make crap movies and good movies. Or, you know, popcorn movies and movies of class or whatever. Just as we used to do before this so-called indie film movement. So, you know, it's kind of that world's dead, man. It's
so like, if you wrote the right movie.
Like, that was like Krypton, and it's exploded. Now I'm here on Earth, and Earth's yellow sun has made me much heavier. On my
gravity.
Whole planet, I'm as thin as Ralph.
There's more gravity
totally,
here. Totally.
Totally. That's my problem. Yeah. You get me under a red sun, man. I'm cut like Brad Pitt.
So, final question on this line of questioning, and that is, so if you wrote the right movie, you could get nominated for an Oscar. You don't think that you're the type of person that people would say, nah, we can't nominate that guy because he's too indie or too outside.
I mean, honestly, I'm certainly not going to cry conspiracy, but at this point, I think that my body of work is such that I don't think anyone would ever consider me seriously for an Oscar. Like, there's this movie.
That's interesting.
There's just not really, but also, who cares, dude? Really? Like, did an Oscar prolong anybody's life? Has an Oscar, you know, saved anybody from
no, but you'd love to win
attack?
One.
No, the zombie apocalypse will not be stopped by an Oscar.
That's true.
You know what I'm saying? Give me a shotgun. That's
melt
the award I want.
You can melt
it down, turn it into the gold
bullet. To a sword.
And kill them and well, not vampires. Werewolves. And not wolves. That's silver.
That's right.
But that's what I get. Even if I one day got an honorary Oscar, they'd be like, yours is colored silver.
Second place.
Totally. Yeah. My career will always have an asterisk next to it. Many asterisks, which I'm totally fine with.
You're like the steroid era of filmmaking.
I don't know what it is, man. Basically, I'm like the era where they're just like, it's the comparatively in hockey, there was the WHA.
I was waiting for the first hockey.
It took about 10 minutes. All right, forget it. I'm not talking hockey.
No,
I'm not
talk
talk
hockey. No,
not
hockey.
At all. Let's talk the Olympic soccer.
See,
that was a bucket of win for me. Win-win. Come on. Team Canada, Team USA. That's amazing.
It was great.
Where are you from?
I'm from Northeast, my friend.
I know.
Where are you
Ralph,
from?
You know.
Northeast, my friend.
So?
We're
close enough
from?
To Canada,
you know
dude.
I'm not from Canada.
I know.
Kevin Smith got into hockey because of Gretzky.
Yes.
Gretzky's Canadian.
Yes.
I see.
Kind of. But for me, I grew up in Jersey. Jersey, and I know what it's like to grow up in the shadow of something larger than yourself. And I'm not talking about my mom. I'm talking about New York. You know what I'm saying? Like, you grew up next to New York, and you're never known for anything except, like, oh, you're near New York. What's that like?
I
identify with Canadians.
Same
thing, dude. Yeah. I identify with Canadians because they have that going with America, where, you know, they share the continent with us. They're incontinent.
Yeah, that's true.
But nobody, whenever somebody talks to them from the world community, they're like, what's it like living next to America?
America Junior.
Totally, totally.
They were America's hat is what I like to think.
Totally. They try harder. I guarantee you a Canadian will eat that like you read about. Mike understood. You know what I'm saying? He'll try harder. Yeah. He's much better at Arl, if you will.
Okay.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Now, before the game, they said that only 2 to 3 of the Americans would have made the Canadian team, which
ouch.
I thought was insulting.
Who said that, the Canadians?
The announcers.
The announcers did?
Before
American
the game.
Announcers?
Yes.
And they based this data on what?
I don't know.
Are you mad at the people that produced the data or the guy who shared the data?
Both.
I'm mad at the guy who shared. It's like, hey, shut up. Don't tell anybody that. You know, you can talk about that around a water cooler, but don't tell America that.
But watching that game, I thought that was one of the most unbelievable games ever.
Dude, if every hockey game was like that, hockey would be as popular as the NBA.
But
that's what the NHL and every player needs to understand is just like, you need to play every game like
that.
That,
yeah.
Totally.
I saw a sign in the crowd that they had a lot of that's Hockey is Canada's game.
Yeah.
And I thought, you
Hockey
know,
is Canada.
It is.
That's the next movie I'm doing. Next movie I'm doing to hit somebody is a hockey movie, and it's a big Valentine to hockey and Canada.
Now, and you guys know it's literally on the money, right? You know that there's kids playing hockey on the back of their $5 bill in Canada. That's how ingrained it is in
their
country.
It's not even like we kind of chuckle about it down here, but it's religion up
right
there.
But I didn't want to be ugly American, but you know, we have the NBA and we have the NFL and we have the MLB.
All they have.
And that's all they have. They lose that,
but to be
they
fair
nothing.
To be fair, they did create basketball. They just kind of let us take it.
All right, well,
that's theirs
too
as
bad
well.
It's their loss.
And beavers
are
theirs,
they
created beavers. They created porkies. perhaps one of the greatest films of my youth, right, where I actually got to see some hair, if you will.
Tim Horton,
full frontal, if you will. Mike, no, you nodded. I like Mike. You make it to a sitcom, dude. We're on the same level, man. Dude looked right up. He knew when I said hair. He's like, I feel you. Many a night.
Let return him.
12 p.m. I watch Porky's myself.
Jake and the Fat Man. It's coming back to TV. All right. Oh,
wait a second.
All right.
Man.
Cop Out.
It was all good and fun until Bane took a negative.
Somebody gets hurt. Cop Out is in theaters now with our friend Kevin Smith. A quick break. We return right after this on the Kevin and Bean.
That one is over as well. That ended, and then it's not coming back either. That's the way these songs work, man. They don't just trail. They just end. They're done.
Yeah.
Yep.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ at 947.
You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Our friend Kevin Smith is here, as he is wont to do. He's sitting in with Ralph Garman in the Showbiz Beat.
Hey, Ralph. How about that?
Or the Showbiz Minute, or whatever you called it a second ago off here.
I said Hollywood Beat. He was like Showbiz.
Hollywood.
Ralph's Movie Minute. The Movie Orgasm with Ralph Garman.
Dancing with the Stars. Cast of season 10 has been revealed last night. On the
Kevin Smith. Do it.
Dancing with the Stars is a...
if you see me on that show, I'm done.
It's a reality competition show where people dance.
Yeah, if I go on Dancing with the Stars, I'm just going to go on just to do the truffle shuffle. Could I win with the trouble show?
I think you could.
You have to give me, like, based on pity points
week
alone. Totally.
If I'm judging, you win.
Following week, I do...
do only movie-based dances.
Or
that's
that Ralph Cramden move.
That's right, the Huckabuck.
Yes, the Huckabuck.
The rerun dance.
Yes! I could totally rock a rerun.
I don't think
it doesn't just have to be fat people dances. I could do, like, an Elmo or something.
You could do a Pee-wee's Breakdance. You could do that in Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
I would get the sympathy vote at least the first week.
I agree.
I don't think they
like... The pity vote. That's how I get laid all the time, my wife. Play a pitiful for you. She throws a pitiful.
If they had a sweating category, you would win hands
in
down.
In a heartbeat, man. Yeah. Totally. I commit. I'm there. You can tell that I'm not healthy.
Kevin Smith will not be in the lineup for season 10. However,
here
is your lineup. Pamela Anderson. Going to be dancing.
There's your jiggle
with
factor.
The yep. There you go.
What else you got?
Chewie's doing it. I think you guys are super hard on Pam Anderson because I think she has fallen so much from where she used to be.
Which was the sexiest woman in the world.
Right.
Right.
She is not that level of sexiness anymore.
Right.
But she still is just, her body is just ridiculous.
She's still very pretty. Very attractive.
The face, though.
Is she Canadian,
face,
too?
Not a, yeah. Yes, she is. Yeah,
Canadian
yeah
girl.
BC, I think. Not as pretty as she used to be, but still a very pretty girl.
Look at that.
Bean is wearing his...
He is a furry. He does have that costume.
He's wearing his wolf.
You wanted to know.
His wolf costume.
I just loved it because he was like, I can't lay hands on it in the next 45 minutes. It took 50.
And he is dressed as Max from Where the Wild Things
We
Are.
Need a photo today.
That right then and there, that made him being in Seattle worth it all these years. Just so you can lay hands on that costume.
I'm sorry for interrupting, Ralph. I could not help myself.
I will not hold you one little bit to blame. Just wondering if anyone will notice he's dressed like a wolf.
Excuse me, you guys requested it. This wasn't my choice to say, hey, I'm going to go put the suit on.
Let the wild rumpus begin, my man.
This is usually reserved for Mrs. Bean. All right, so Pam Anderson, what else you got?
Chad Ochocinco from the Cincinnati Bengals. Wide receiver.
Crazy awesome.
Formerly known as Chad Johnson, of course, now Ochocinco, 85, his number. Aiden Turner, someone from All My Children. I'm not a fan of that show, so I'm not sure who that is, but I'm sure they're very popular. Erin Andrews from ESPN. She was the one who was photographed nude in her hotel room several times.
Yeah. She's pretty hot.
She is very hot.
The one that peeked her through the peephole.
Yep. Exactly, yes. Glad she's trying to avoid controversy by staying. Oh, wait a minute. She's on Dancing with the Stars.
Wow.
Beverly Hills 90210 star Shannon Doherty.
What?
Looking for work these days.
She's going to be on it?
She's dancing.
They got me. I'm tuning in. I'm tuning in.
80-year-old former astronaut Buzz Aldrin.
That's
will
what
be
I'm
dancing
talking about.
All right. All right.
Really?
Do it for America sometimes. Sometimes it's not for celebrity, Ralph. Sometimes you got to do it for NASA.
It's going to plant the flag.
Totally. Giant step for mankind.
But we have to watch Dancing with the Stars for America?
Yes, this time around, apparently.
USA! 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 USA!
All right.
USA! USA!
Take it easy.
USA!
We got it.
Take
we
it
know
easy,
where
Dave.
We live. Reno 911 star Niecy Nash. Wow. I don't
okay
care. Pussycat Dolls, Nicole Scherzinger.
That's what I'm talking about.
She's the lead singer for the Pussycat Dolls. She's diabolically hot.
She's pretty, Kevin. I don't know if you know who she is, but you'll enjoy watching her dance.
Or they're talking to me. Still, I was going to say, yeah, I know.
Yeah, I'm still stuck on the Shannon Doherty.
Olympic gold medalist Evan Lisiak.
Lisiak. How many people are on this show?
A bunch.
A dozen or something? Maybe?
This is more than eight is enough. Is this show also set in Sacramento?
I believe it is. Reality star Kate Gosselin of John and Kate Plus Eight.
She's on that show, too?
She's dancing.
I mean, can I just take a moment to pat myself on the back?
Yes.
Clearly, these people want attention.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I mean, look, obviously, us in entertainment, we all want attention to some degree.
Yes.
But even during that Southwest thing, did you see me out there octomomming it up, jumping and dancing with the stars?
I did not see you do one interview
about
the subject.
I don't ever
want
to hear anybody like complain. Like, I've heard that Kate woman complain about how tough her life is and whatnot.
Damn paparazzi.
Don't go on Dancing with the Stars.
Yeah.
They won't leave her alone.
She just wants to raise her kids. As you said, the lady was like photographed naked. Just, like, don't.
Yeah.
Don't then use it for something. Ah! I don't get it.
No, I hear you, brother. Kevin Smith, I have to ask this question very quickly.
Yes.
You turned down every major media outlet from Larry King to the Today Show to everybody wanted to have you on to talk about that Southwest. You had a valid point to make. You were in the right. Why didn't you want to do some of those interviews?
Because I didn't want to be Octomom, dude.
Like, and he was making the point, I
think. Yeah, like, I felt like, and also my point was this. The hell with old media. You know what I'm saying? Like, I live in the world of new media. So anyone that I cared about was reading all the correct information online. And anybody else just wanted to listen to the fat guy in a little jet joke. And that's fine if that's all they wanted to get out of it and whatnot. But for me, I feel like I'd rather tell the, you know, it just felt gross. Like, I've watched for years people take something bad that happened to them, jump out there and kind of, you know, sometimes they try to be the front person, which is the nice thing to do, you know, kind of be like the voice of that. But oftentimes it then leads to the dark side where it's just like you show up on, you know, Hollywood squares and they're like, and in the lower right square, too fat to fly, former director Kevin, you know what I'm saying? Like, that way lies ruin. And, you know, like Thomas Moore said, you know, hold yourself in your hands like water. And if you open your fingers, you know, what happens? You don't know if you'll, well, I'm paraphrasing at this point.
I don't know what that means, but I'll look it up.
You could lose yourself. You know what I'm saying? And I just wanted to be, you know, my parents raised me to believe if you get effed, and you don't want to get effed, then start screaming.
Speak up.
And that's exactly what happened. They wanted to make it about fat, but it wasn't about that.
But I feel
you know what happened?
Though.
I got to say, like, the weirdest thing. Did I tell you guys that I got called by the governor?
No.
We didn't talk about this?
Arnold?
I got a call from Arnold Schwarzenegger.
What did he say?
It was weird. I was coming back from the junket because I was back east for the junket and stuff. And they were my publicist said, Schwarzenegger's office called. And he wants to speak to you. And I said, okay, that voice is easy to imitate.
Yeah. Right.
Don't believe that.
Could be Ralph.
Second.
Could be
I have
any
a lookout plan for you, Kevin.
Absolutely.
We do crashes here in the governor's mansion.
My eyes are closed, and it almost sounds like my conversation. So I didn't want to call right away. And then my publicist, Tony Angelo, called the next day. He goes, dude, I got another phone call from the governor's office saying the governor's not used to people not returning his call. And I was like, are you serious, man? Like, I don't want to call this number, dude. I feel like a jerk. And he's like, try it. So I did. I called the next day. And it was some dude going, I don't have him, but he'll call you back. And I was just like, eh. And I fully expected it to be some radio gag. And then the phone rang. And it was like, please hold for the governor. And Kevin, it's Arnold Schwarzenegger. And I was lit. Come on, how much I talk. I was literally stunned, speechless.
That's never happened.
I was just like, I was starstruck. I mean, come on, dude. That's the dude who's like, Krom.
Of course,
that's Conan, dude.
Of course.
That is Conan. And all of a sudden, Conan called my house,
and
he congratulated me on my John McClane Die Hard movie. Isn't that weird? Like, Conan called me to say people love John McClane.
Wow.
I was like, I live in a fictional world. But anyway, he called. But first and foremost, he was calling, I guess, because he was having some obesity summit with Bill Clinton. And he's like, I'd heard about your story with Southwest, and I thought you might have something to say about obesity. I said, listen, Gov, and I called him Gov eight times.
Gov!
The phone call.
Nice.
I couldn't call him Arnold.
Sure.
I couldn't call him Mr. Schwarzenegger. I felt Gov. He's the governor.
Hey, Gov.
So I said, dude, I did what?
Hi, Gov. What
I
do you
said,
know?
Gov, how you doing, Gov? Nah. And he was just like, click. No, but I said, dude, oh, that wasn't, I said, look, I am fat, Gov, but I said, that wasn't really about fat. That was about a customer service snafu mishap, and then I explained the whole thing to him, which took about 5 minutes, at the end of which he goes,
Yes, well, the obesity summit was yesterday, so it's off enough. And I said, oh, okay. I said, fair enough. I said, fair enough. He goes, well, I saw a feature of you in the calendar section in the Times. Congratulations on that.
Well, that's nice.
And he said, good luck with your Bruce Willis movie. Everybody loves Bruce, so it should do very, very well. Wanted to call you and call you back and let you know that it was about the summit and not that I wanted a job. Ha, 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 ha. He literally said that. And so right before he went, I was like, this is my moment. I'll never speak to Schwarzenegger again.
Right.
And I had two ways to go with it. One, I would have been like, Gov, what is best in life? So that he could have been like, to crush your enemies, see them driven before you, and hear the lamentation of the women.
He wouldn't have got that.
He might not have remembered. But yeah. He had the Conan sword in his office. Does so he okay. might have remembered. Instead, I went with this one. I said, Gov, can I give you a piece of California advice? And he goes, absolutely. I said, before you ever leave office, legalize weed. You'll be a hero. Be the guy. Lead everybody.
Nice.
It's something to think about. Thank you, Kevin.
That's
and it hung up. That was awesome. I mean, you know, that was the only thing I've told my wife in 15 years that, like, afterwards, immediately, she was like, let's go to bed. She was like,
she was closing her eyes thinking of Conan, though, right?
She was. Yeah. I don't care what she was thinking about. I got laid heartily that day. But she was, like, so impressed that the governor called. I was like, lady, he only called because I'm fat. That's not like an honor.
Hey,
that's
he called though.
A dishonor.
He's never called us.
That's
you know.
True.
So, by the way, absolutely looking for a job because he's on his way. Oh yeah, I can play hockey. I don't know if you noticed, and I heard about your next film.
Awesome.
I'd be coach on an Austrian team.
On the hockey team, he would play a dude on the hockey team whose god was Krom, and he would do that exact prayer from Conan at the end. If you don't help me, to hell with you.
That's all you need.
Oh, that's. Krom.
That's one of the best stories I've ever heard, Kevin Smith. Thank you so much for that.
Thanks for having me on.
Looks like we're out of time, you guys.
We're done. Can I give a shout out to something that's coming out tomorrow?
Sure.
I have that Green Hornet movie.
Oh, yeah.
That I was going to direct years and years ago.
Yeah.
They've turned it into a comic book and it comes out tomorrow.
I know well, sir. I'm looking forward to it.
It's fun. I've seen it. This guy, Jonathan Loud, did a great job.
Great.
Please pick it up.
Fantastic. Thank you, guys. It's Kevin and Bean Show. Tomorrow morning, an all-new program, April Foolishness tickets, plus Blindside reviews. We have a blind movie reviewer.
Loved Cop Out, by the way.
Get out of here, really?
I have no idea.
I was so eager to take it. Did you hear the excitement in my voice?
Review.
Did he really?
And
I thought it was well
man.
Shot.
And the return of
that's funny.
And the return of Courtney Love.
What?
Come on. Tomorrow, Courtney Love, live
for reals?
On the show.
Yes.
Oh, for reals.
She's
blind myself.
Back with Hole, so to speak.
Can I wake up with my makeup?
Putting out a new CD and talking to her tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show.
Don't go away. Cat's up next with 40 minutes nonstop K-Rock, including Foo Fighters, also Phoenix, Pearl Jam, Blink-182, and more right after this on good old K-Rock.